Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
It's wonderful to be in the house of God, isn't it?
Amen.
How many's glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. There's a lot of places we could be tonight, amen. But I chose to be in the house of the Lord, amen. We're serving a mighty God, saints of God. A mighty God. You know, and the thing is we are the sons of God, and the Bible said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And then, you know, someone might question sonship. All they got to do is question leading. If the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, then we're led by the Spirit of God. If you're a son of God. If you're not being led by the Spirit, then you can question sonship. I deal with a lot of people over the years, for many years, and sometimes people question. Sometimes they question their election. Well, am I born again? Am I really predestined in Christ? You know, am I a child of God? Am I a child of the devil? Am I lost? Am I saved? You know. Well, one time, just the simple fact of questioning sometimes could show that there's a complication with faith. And then we say, well, faith, how do we get faith? Well, faith comes by hearing the word, but we got people sitting in churches on a daily basis that don't have faith. But they hear the word. But then yet Jesus, when he was spoken, they was in the right place. It was in a synagogue. They was in the right place. We could say they was in the house of God. But then yet he said, though you don't have, you know, though you don't hear. So then we have so many things we've got to question. We think, well, you know, I sit and I hear the word. But maybe you're hearing an intellectual concept, but you're not really hearing beyond the audible. You see? We have a counterfeit for everything spiritual. We have an audible thing that we take into an audible ear, and we find a sense of satisfaction, but it's feeding a religious spirit in us. And we leave with a sense of contentment and a sense of satisfaction that we've heard from heaven. And all we did was get an appetite for a deeper intellectual understanding. You see, a deep intellectual understanding could be so similar or familiar to a revelation. And it is a revelation, and many revelations are going to come through the intellectual door before it's unveiled into a spiritual revelation. There's so many examples that could be shown and said here. And the thing is what we would never want to do. You don't want to ever hurt something because you want to take something and bring it forth and cause it to grow. I'll share a little thing that took place as we pray while we were gone over this past few days. And it put me in a very, 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 very peculiar place to try to bring forth a word. Because you see a gift. And when you see a gift there, you don't want to come and expose the at the same time the failure. Because if you expose the failure, you might hurt the individual and they'll never operate the gift. So you got to allow them to operate in the gift. You know, how much of the flesh are you going to allow intermingling? Young ministers, same thing. They can get a revelation from the Lord. And then all of a sudden they'll deliver the revelation. Then they'll go into the flesh and say, well, this is what I think this guy needs. And I'm guilty. Been there myself, man, many times. You know, the Lord said, well, this is what I want to give him. I said, okay, but let me help you out a little bit. He needs a little more than that. Man, I know y'all could think you've never done that before. Come on. You know, we get so doggone religious sometimes, you know. It's like, well, you know, I had a preacher I was dealing with. I broke fellowship with him. And I offered him an exhortation. I had the right because he violated the brotherhood. And I offered an exhortation to him. I said, you miss God. And you know what his reply to me was? He said, I've never missed God. And I said, let me shake your hand, brother. I said, you'll be the first man of God that I've ever met that had that testimony. I've never met a man of God ever except that one man that could say that he never missed the Lord. Because my Lord and Savior, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Because he was struggling to yield and follow the Spirit of the Father. And you say, well, him and the Father are one. I say, I know that. I teach that doctrine. But we understand the differentiation of him making himself twain, both Lord and Christ, both Son of Man, Son of God. The Bible said the first man, Adam, was a living soul. The second man, Adam, a quickening spirit. Now we think we got a revelation there. Oh, praise God, I got a revelation. You know, the second man, Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's spirit. And the first man, Adam, living soul, you know, he was relative to this world. They're both relative to this world. Come on now. We know that Jesus came in a veil. He came in the flesh. He came in a robe. Amen. And we're not to no longer know him in the way that he came. The allegory in the Old Testament, how did it show Jesus? Come on, saints. Showed him a serpent up on a pole. And it was for the healing of the nations. The brazen serpent was for the healing of the nations. That's what Jesus showed for you and I, for we can have life. But we don't no longer know him after that. So here we go. We struggle. Struggle for the mind of revelation. Mind of Christ. And we'll get a hold of one thing and we will hold it so tight that we will not be able to make an adaption around to a revelation. Amen. Somewhere, I'm telling you, with this man that took presidency, or the president-elect yesterday, is a very significant. It's probably one of the most significant things that has taken place in your lifetime. And you say, I don't like him. Doesn't matter if you like him. It's still a very great significance into a revelation of what's going on in the mind of revelation, in the mind of Christ. And it's the same thing. See, a brother said this, and when it was spoke to me, and I heard this, it quickened my spirit. Because people don't like Brother Rob. They don't like Donald Trump. There's a lot of things I don't like about Donald Trump. But people don't like Brother Rob because I'm very straightforward. You don't have to wonder where I'm at, what I'm thinking. And I'm not going to let you be a whore. I'm going to say, you know, oh, God loves you. Just know I'm going to say, you're a whore. Get right with God and get born again. Donald Trump is same way. Don't misunderstand me now. I'm not promoting this man in any way, shape, or form. But you see, we have to learn to understand that the Bible teaches us that the unseen things of the spirit world, the invisible, you know, remember, the invisible things are the eternal things. The things that we don't see, the invisible things, are the eternal things. The things that we see are the temporal things. But the Bible said the unseen things of the invisible world, okay, are revealed to us by the things of temporal world, the things that we see. So you say, well, is that how we see beyond the veil, Brother Rob? Is that how we see beyond? It is a way to see it, but that's still in the allegoric realm. But there is a place that we could come to, but we got to understand the quickening, where I said the first man, Adam, was a living soul. The second man, Adam, was a quickening spirit. You see, the quickening sight is different than the temporal sight. You see, it's a quicker vibration. Some of you have listened to some of Brother Pike's messages. He ministered a message on inspirational vibrations. I don't know what you got out of it, what you didn't. You might have grasped a few things out of it. But I'm telling you, the thing is that your natural eyes record. The 22 conductive nerves are going to record so many different vibrations. The vibrations that you record will give you depth perception. It'll give you color differentiation. It'll bring shape and everything to you. That's what your eyes do when they see. And it brings back, when it records these vibrations, it brings back something to your mind, to your thoughts, and it brings forth a picture for you. The ears, the same very way. Your ears record a certain audible vibration. And science has come to an understanding to understand decimals of the vibration, and the bass would be a wider and a deeper vibration to the higher frequency, or pitches are real tight. Yours can only go to a certain thing and then it cuts off. And the audible thing, it could go so low and then it drops below that and you can't hear it. And there could be a sound that would be so obnoxious to you, but it's beyond your vibration realm. There could be things that are beyond the vibration realm of your eyes. If your eyes are only recording to a certain vibration, just like your ear, there's a spirit right here. Right here. There's a spirit standing right here. If your eyes were beyond the 22 conductive nerves, you would see the spirit because it's in a different vibration realm. Now, I'll give you an example back to audible. Now, listen to me. In an audible realm, when you go into an audible realm, you could blow a whistle and you could have a man standing over there and he don't hear it at all. But a dog will cover up his ears because he hears at a higher frequency in a vibration realm. That's just an example, brethren. It is an example. You don't hear it. Doesn't faze you, but the dog is pulling his paws up over his ears and whining and whimpering because he's hearing something that you don't hear. And the same thing when we get into the spiritual dimension and realm, there's a vibration realm. You see, when Jesus, when he appeared in the room, he changed the vibration realm, for they could see him. But he says he's always there. At your highest height, your deepest depth, he's always there. We can be real simple about revelation, be real simple. But then yet at the same time, there's something that we could comprehend that'll bring us into a deeper thing. The Bible said that we're the stewards, Brother John, of the mysteries. Do you know what a steward of a mystery is? It's somebody that's given to take to the mysteries of God. Those are the secrets. And see, sometimes when a minister starts to unveil the mysteries, as the Apostle Paul said, I show you a mystery, and we shall not all sleep. And he was unveiling mysteries, the mystery of godliness. And we start going into the mysteries, and because it's beyond your doctrine or your revelation, and all of a sudden you just want to make it wrong. And then you limit yourself. But let me tell you something. God has been progressing through time. Talks about a sevenfold light, and it gets brighter and brighter and brighter until it totally consumes this world right here. Now the thing is with this man, I know I got you standing, I'll let you sit down here right promptly. But with this gentleman named Trump coming on the scene right now, just a simple name. That's the mystery that the Apostle Paul's speaking about. He said, I show you a mystery, they shall not all sleep. It talks about this last trump shall sound. Does everyone hear it? Come on now, we got to understand that. But there is a trump that will sound forth. Amen? Amen? Let's have a word of prayer. Maybe the Lord will help us tonight. Amen. Most gracious Father, as we come boldly before the throne of grace, Lord God. Father, as we pray even before service, Lord God, we said, Father, we're asking for wisdom. Father, we have the understanding, we have the knowledge, but Lord God, we're asking for the wisdom, what we can share. Father, as you said, these things had to be sealed up. Even when the great man of God, Brother William Branham, when he gave it to him, it was in a veil, in an unknown tongue, in his own words. Father God, knowing that there's things that are hid for a time and a season, Lord God. But Father, we know that there's also a time that for an unveiling to bring forth and to be seen, comprehended and understood. And Father, as we approach this closing moments of time of this world, Lord God, as what we see it and know it as of now, Father, and it's very apparent that the writing's on the wall. Father, we still wait, because Father, I've known the consequences of speaking out of season and out of time, Lord God, and knowing and having to watch and see the hurt that it would cause, Father, to ones not prepared. So, Father, as we yield to you tonight, Father, with a sincere heart, we ask for help, revelation, understanding, and most of all, wisdom, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. With wisdom, knowledge, virtue, each one we add an increase to. Amen. It's good to see Brother Kirby this evening. Lord, it's good, isn't he? Masitrasio tolia ke sendrehiki tilish indrasio. Moria shatale masandria ki hishitilia si. Lori andrasi andalia ki shitiri andre ke hete se treko tolomasi. Sama la masindria ki hindilio kotosha. Heria sandra satalimo koto ya shindilia he ke he sendre ke mese. Sirio kolo moshindra silatale makita liashiti. Holy asadle amandria ki liokoto shande heke liase. Mandra kita la moshote. Masi hiki liashinda liokoso. Thrasha tariandroko siti liake hindiri moshita limoso. Father, as we ask for wisdom again, Lord God. Father, as we could work in the gifts, Father God, and not still be within the will nor the wisdom. Father, we want to be considered the wise man, Lord God, that would concealeth the matter, Lord God. Father, knowing that there's a time that you'll bring it forth to your people, Lord God. And Father, again, we don't want to have apprehension, Father God, when it's your desire and your will. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You say, according to the understanding that I have, Brother Rob, that when there's a tongue that goes forth, there must be an interpretation or be silent. That's what I'm waiting for. If he wants me to be silent, I have the interpretation. There may be others here with the gift. I say, if you do, yield to it. That's not a problem to me whatsoever at all. I don't struggle or war with that. I've given interpretations, I've given prophecies, and I've given tongues, I've given word of knowledges and public things over the years before any of you ever knew me, before I ever came to a place. I worked, my wife has been with her in church. I called every single man out of the church and told them things that I would have never been able to know. But I quit doing that years ago because I found the complications that it cost. And I thought because if God showed me something that I was supposed to speak it, but there's a time for all things. She was there. She could ask me if Brother Del Powell was here tonight. He was one of the first times I met him. He was in a church service. He came up and dropped on his knees while I was preaching and said, I want to know what you know. And I had a word for him. You see, that was a cop-out way. People want the preacher to give them things and to bless them and to tell them things. And I said, what you need to do is get on your knees and ask from the same source that I got them from. Amen. Amen. And that was one of the first meetings I ever had with that man. He followed me around different churches as I ministered there in the mountains and ended up coming out here, following us out here. And you said, what are you saying, Brother Ross? I'm the least of y'all. But I'm telling you that there's a mighty God. Yes. And we have to have a hunger and a thirst and a drawing. The thing is that there's many times God will give a man a message or a word and it'll destroy him. The Bible said you don't send out novices. Why? Because it said when you send out a novice, they'll be overtaken in a fall. And then you have somebody that could have been seasoned and been worked and trained how to fight spiritual warfare, how to understand familiar spirits and similar spirits, because that's where most ministers die, by familiar spirits. It's something that seems like God, sounds like God, looks like God. And they take and they'll yield to it, and it got them, just like that. Flattery is one of the biggest killers and destroyers of the ministry. Men like flattery. The Bible said priests love gifts. Amen. And that's a sense of flattering, giving them gifts. And oh yeah, you know, a gift could be, oh man, you're a mighty man of God. Oh man, I tell you what, you're the one, man. Oh man, praise God. I tell you, you're anointed. You're this and that. I tell you what, those are words of the serpent because he's trying to get a snare in around you. When you hear those things, you say, oh, Brother Rob, a man of God could be encouraged sometimes. Oh, sure he can. But you need to be very careful when you hear many times, more so than not, there would be something of flattery to get a place, thinking that you can give them a blessing or give them something. When the people discern the anointing of God and they discern and see the gift or the anointing move in a life, many times that is what they know for an avenue. Because it goes along with the natural mind and the natural man, the carnal things. The interpretation will go forth in this message if you could just hold on and you could keep your spirit right. Amen. You see, I've done this many times. You see, it's your religious way. You think if there's a tongue, there has to be an interpretation. I say, yea and amen. But the Bible said it's no longer the ministry but Christ speaking through him. And if it's Christ speaking, he says, thus saith the Lord and speaks, or if he brings it forth in the word, it's all one the same thing. You see, if a tongue goes forth and an interpretation goes forth, or if a prophecy goes forth, what's the difference? See, a prophetic utterance is thus saith the Lord. A tongue and interpretation is thus saith the Lord. If it's the minister no longer living, as the apostle Paul said, he said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. It's no longer I that lives, he said. So if it's no longer him that lives, then who is it living? It's Christ. And what you do to the least of these, my brethren, is what you've done unto him. And you say, you're always trying to get people to look at you, Brother Rob, as something. No, I'm trying to get you to look in the mirror and understand the revelation of Jesus Christ, that you esteem Brother Ed greater than yourself, then you could come to the revelation, because that's what Jesus done for you and I. He esteemed Brother Kirby greater than his own self. He laid his life down for him, and he laid his life down for me. And if we're part of bone and bone and flesh to flesh, or part of that many member, we do the same thing. And if you ain't willing to lay your life down for your brother, you ain't got nothing. And if it's always what somebody could do for you instead of what you can do for them, it's like the president of old, I believe it was one of the Kennedys, and he made the statement. He said, it's not what your country could do for you, it's what can you do for your country. Profound statement. That's the way we are in the kingdom. But most of us petition the throne of God, what are you going to do for me, Lord? What are you going to do for me, Lord? I'll answer that for you. You want to hear part of the interpretation? He ain't going to do nothing for you. He's already done everything for you that he's ever going to do. He done everything at the cross of Calvary that he's ever going to do for you. And you need to accept what he's done and get about his business. And when you're sowing into his kingdom, he is blessing you. What you have is what you've sown. You don't get anything unless you sow it. You can't have forgiveness unless you sow forgiveness. You cannot have salvation and your soul being saved unless you're looking for somebody else. Said, seek after your own soul, you lose it. But you seek after another's, you find it. That's the Bible, my friend. You know, but you got it all messed up because you've learned the ways of man, and it's all about you and what you can eat and what you can get and what you desire, and you want and you want and you want. But learn to change that and give and give and give, and you'll find that you'll never lack. That's God's way. A man that has a ministry of giving away clothing never goes naked. A man has a ministry of giving away food never goes hungry. A man that has ministry of loving and sharing and doing good people, he'll never lack. Bible said you want friends, show yourself friendly. But you got to sow that first. Otherwise, you can sit back and judge everybody. Well, this guy, this. Hey, that's just you. You're just seeing yourself. You create. If you come to revelation that you are bone and bone and flesh to flesh of the Lord, then you're a creator. Amen? You create this day. Today, I choose to whom I serve. You see, circumstances don't change sons of God. Sons of God change circumstances. Are you listening to me, saints? Well, I would, but... But I would be doing this, but as I said, get your big butt out of the way. I'm sorry. I mean, you could take that as a crude statement, but your butt's in the way. There is no buts in sons of God. I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The God that I serve, he could make the impossible things possible. Amen. He's the high priest of my profession. Amen. And I'm going to profess and I'm going to walk and I'm going to follow and I'm going to hear. I'm going to listen and I'm going to be led. And I'm going to lead. You see, I could be led and I could lead. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And when you're following the Spirit of God, people will follow you. Sometimes you have troubles getting people to follow you. It's because you're not following the Spirit. If they discern and see that you're following the Spirit, you understand? If they see that you're following the Spirit, then they'll follow you. How about somebody say, man, I want to get to this place, so I'm not sure how to get there. But I know Brother Jeff does, and Jeff's man heads out in his car. Guess what you're going to do? You're going to pull in behind him, ain't you? Man, I'm going to follow this guy. You know, if he keeps it below 90. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to read some scripture. Spirit of prophecy is all over me. The Bible said prophecy is subject unto the prophet. See, I used to think when it came, you had to give it right then. That's where I used to operate. And I'd be in church services. Man, I'd stand up and give a prophetic utterance. Man, the power of God would move in a church. You said, it's the way it's supposed to be. What is the way things are supposed to be is done in decently and in order. And this is where we were trained in the Pentecostal realms. But you see, there's gifts that move. And sometimes you wait and you see, and there's a time. You see, any time that something brings to life, there's a timely season in it. And there's a cycle that that egg's got to get just the right time. Got to be the right moment, the right time, and then that seed's got to have the strength. Now see, the seed could have plenty of strength and plenty of power and full of life, but that egg's not in that cycle, it ain't going to do no good. People sometimes question the preacher, well, why isn't this taking place? That happened. See, it's not the preacher, it's the cycle. Now see, the Bible said that we as the children of God or the sons of God or the family of God, we could say that we're instant in season, out of season. Some people say instant in season and out of season, but it doesn't say that. It says instant in season, out of season. You know what that means? It means that we got fruit on our tree in the wintertime. The people of this world have winters. We don't have winter. We got fruit all the time. And when you don't have fruit, there's a problem with you. Because we don't have no wintertime. So when you see a man that's given through change, see, he's relative to the world. He hadn't come to where he needs to be. He needs to come to the revelation and find out who he is for he could be established. When you see a guy's got good days and bad days and ups and downs and, you know, he's encouraged today and discouraged tomorrow, that man's seasonal. You see, the Bible said, woe unto him that's given to change. You see, we're not given to change. We stay the same all the time because we're the sons of God. And when people see stability, the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. What does that mean in all of his ways? It's in his marriage, it's in his business, it's in everything about him. When you're always blaming everything on everybody, on somebody else, and you'll never grow in the grace and knowledge of God. See, we're the commanders, the leaders, and we are the ones that profess the things the way they should be. You see, if you got a bad marriage, it's if you are a son of God or a child of God, the only one that you could blame it on is yourself because you created this day and whom you're going to serve, and you created the situation and the scenario. Now, if you've messed up and failed, don't get yourself all tore up and think how much I failed. Say, you know what? The same God, now that he brings me to revelation, he could help me fix it. Amen. He gave us the spirit of reconciliation for a reason. See, we can reconcile things. We could fix things. We could repair things. We could take the broken and mend it and repair it. That's the spirit of reconciliation. Why did he give us the gift of healing? For things that are sick could be healed. You understand that? If you read about him, the Good Samaritan, he found the one that was half dead and naked, laying on the side of the Jericho road, and he bandaged him up. Amen. It's what we do. We're ministers. I'm not talking to the fivefold ministry when I say that. We're all ministers. We're there to bandage, to help for the wounded, the broken. But you see, at the same time, we take advantage of it. The broken, contrite spirit is something God could use. So we look for people that are broke. We look for people that are down. I said to an individual the other day, I said, you know, if I have a choice to preach a funeral or preach a wedding, I'll take the funeral any day. You say, well, you morbid, sick sucker. Man, weddings, everybody's just all, you know, man, look at this. So it's beautiful, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you're just watching somebody lie to one another. You know, probably going to get divorced in a few days. They're getting ready to go dance and do all their carnal junk. But a funeral, you got broken people there. Man, my granddaddy, my grandmother, my brother, my sister, my aunt, my uncle, they're dead. And they're broken. A broken, contrite spirit, some God could use, and you take advantage. There's your cycle. And you put the seed in right then, and you win souls. I made a decision for the Lord watching my best friend get buried. Maybe is that why you think like you think, Brother Rob? No, I didn't think like that then. But I look back and observe and I see how God moves in brokenness, in broken homes, in broken relationships, in broken bodies. The Bible said, ye that suffer in the flesh cease from sin. When you cease from sin is when God could use you. Amen. So, you know, that's what we do. Is we watch by the mind of Christ and the revelation of the Lord. You see, there's too many counterfeits and too many formulations. The Pentecostal realms has built these little scenarios. And you know, boy, if we walk in this scenario, we're accepted. We're part of it. We're one with it. You see, this is what Trump is doing. Now, I'm not promoting this man. There's a lot of things about this president that I don't like. But I tell you what, between the two choices that we had, I tell you, I say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You say, well, you know, he might bring us into sudden destruction. If he does, it's orchestrated of God from heaven. If he's the one that brings in the final catastrophic event to United States of America, then so be it. Many great men of God have seen America in nothing but shambles, smoke and shambles, nothing left. You say, well, I'm not going to go by what these great preachers and prophets go by the Bible. The Bible said there won't be one stone standing on top of another. So we can stay with the word. Amen. Whatever one you want to go with, we can stay with it. But I'll tell you, brethren, the thing is the Bible says that evil can't come to the city lest I send it. So we trust the Lord. The Bible said he'll give you a king after your own heart. I think there is a remnant group in America that's tired of what's taking place in this land. And I think the Lord has allowed a little bit of a grace here for a moment for a final pull. Amen. And that has to do with that last trump. You see, a trump has to do, you know, when we think of a last trump, we think of trumpet and the sound of a trumpet. And it talks about someone here. And it talks about an uncertain sound. I've done a lot of preaching on that here lately, haven't I? About the uncertain sounds. And the thing is there's many times people will hear the sound and it's not the distinction that God would want them to hear, but they take it and run with it. Seen it many, many times over many years of observation. The uncertain sound, the familiar, the thing that would look. You see, if you would think about, the Bible teaches about the separation of the sheep and the goats. If you're not listening closely, you know a goat and a sheep, they do sound quite a bit alike, but you got to listen. The Bible even teaches about the deception of the wolf, and he comes in a sheep's clothing. Remember, for some of you don't really think holiness is necessary, that at least they recognize that they do have a certain kind of clothing. Amen. Praise God. So we got to keep things a little simple. Amen. And we watch and listen. I'm going to go to some scriptures here in a moment, if the Lord will allow, and we'll try to bring some things out. As the Spirit of God would give us the utterance and the direction to go so and do so. And you say, but Brother Ron, could I hinder that? Sure you can. You know, most definitely. We deal with these things on a continuous basis. And you say, so you're telling me that somebody could rob a service from the Lord speaking? Sure, most definitely. I've witnessed that for many, many years, over and over again. Not just as I've seen it with other ministers and ministries. You have to have a hunger and a thirst, and there's got to be a drawing to bring forth the wellsprings of life. And sometimes you got to wait. And you say, well, what would you be waiting upon, Brother Ron? Just as I said, there's a cycle there that's got to go forth. Just the right, perfect timing. Amen. And it's got to go forth. He said, I don't know whether I was in body or in spirit, but know that I was caught away into the third heaven. Most people don't have any revelation at all of the third heaven. And most of the church, if you remember a message I preached almost 20 years ago, and we called it the soul realm religion, and 99.5% of the churches in the United States of America are walking in a second dimension, in a soul realm religion, partaking of the things that are flowing from the third heaven and never been through the door into the third heaven. 99.5 of the churches and ministers. And you say, well, what are you excluding yourself there? I say, God, help me and have mercy on me. But what I'm saying, brethren, it isn't about me. I'm talking about by the mind of revelation, I'm speaking of the condition. It doesn't make me better. I might be one of the 99.5 that doesn't go beyond the veil. You see, it doesn't matter. I don't have to be partakers of it. Even the Bible said, you know, don't do what these Pharisees do, but do what they say. So when I speak things by the profound revelation or utterance of the Holy Ghost, you see, I'm speaking in faith and hope that I be partakers myself. But just because I speak it, it isn't arrogance or haughtiness, but I speak by the divine mind of revelation and what God is doing. You see, when the gifts and callings are without repentance, I don't know if you know what that means. I do. But that means a man could work in the gifts and he could prophesy. He could work in a word of knowledge and tell you your name, your address, and your birthday and be on his way to hell. Yes. Thus saith the Lord. Because the Bible said the gifts and callings without repentance. And if you're not sure about that, the Bible said that the greater gift to desire over tongues is prophecy. It said it's the greatest gift. Amen. But then yet the Bible goes on to say, it said, but you prophesied in my name. And he said, I never knew you. I never, didn't mean I once knew you and you backslid. He said, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity, depart from me. Never knew them. And that word knowing again, we've talked about this hundreds and thousands of times possibly, but that word knowing there is the same word that Joseph did not know Mary until Jesus was born. You see, there was a marriage relationship. He did not know her. He never had a union of a marriage relationship. I'll use the term, there was no sexual relationship with Mary and Joseph until after Jesus was born. Now, the Catholic Church teaches the Immaculate Conception, which means she was a virgin when Jesus was born, and she remained a virgin all of her life. But see, that don't fit in the word, because he had brothers. Amen? So, the thing is those are things that if people would be sensitive to the Holy Ghost and the Spirit, they'd see those things and they'd say, wait a minute, if they preached any other word than what Jesus Christ preached, let them be accursed, they would depart from it. So if we're using a term like 99.5 and we see this small remnant, the Bible said, little flock, few breather that find it. And honestly, I think the Lord is showing grace there. You think when we go back to Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, if there was just this many, would you spare it? If there were, and it just kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Lord, 99.6? Amen. Could you spare it? Yeah, amen. But things wouldn't change. As again, we've brought it out so many times when people are looking for this big, giant numbers of this big collective change. You see, they don't see that by the mind of Christ or the revelation. Heard so many times that when the world was totally flooded by water, when we've seen the first dimension of the water covenant finalized, amen, even though the second covenant already come in the blood, when there was the killing of an animal to put the skin coverings upon Adam and Eve, showing the blood, because the water covenant had been violated and broken. So when the water covenant was broken, there was shown the introduction to the blood covenant, and the water, when the water was finished now, it was finished right then in the garden. when it violated. And then when Cain brought an offering from the water covenant unto the Lord, and he didn't accept it, but Abel brought one relative to the blood covenant because it was a new dimension. You know, see how sensitive we need to be about dimensional changes? But you see, you're stuck sometimes in the old dimension. And this is why Trump is so significant right now. Because he's saying, we got to get out of this rut. We got to get out of this thing. And brethren, I would never speak disrespectful of great men of God that was before us. You know the respect and love I had for Brother Pike. But his followers are on their way to hell. I'm sorry. You see, what you mean his labors were no good? And I didn't say nothing about his labors. I said, but what happens is they stuck in the former thing. The Bible talks about a latter-day rain. There's a former and a latter rain. You say, what does that have to do with, Brother Rob? You say, well, you know, we could talk about what's prophesied in Joel. And I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. All flesh. Corrupt, wretched, no good flesh. That's the dispensation of grace. Blood on the mercy seat. So we go back to the garden, what I was saying there. And it was a violation of the water covenant. And then when Cain came to bring the water covenant, God didn't accept it. It grieved Cain so bad, made him so mad, that he took his brother, because his brother Abel, who had the blood sacrifice, because it was something, it was an animal that had to be killed to bring forth. God accepted that because it was another covenant, the blood covenant. So when the blood covenant was accepted and Abel goes forth, and Cain's wasn't, then Cain gets mad and he slews Abel, right? So then we come down through another course of time, and we find that the blood covenant came to an end. Now see, this will get you in trouble. You teach this in the churches, but they're shallow. They'll never see this. Are the sons of God led by the blood or led by the Spirit?
Spirit.
Huh?
Spirit.
Okay. We're in another covenant, brethren. We had to come through the blood covenant. I'm not doing away with the blood of Jesus. We had to come through the blood. But you know, when you're in the third heaven, there is no blood. Come on now. That's why Jesus put all the blood out of his veins. They slammed the thorns down over his head. I know the Catholics make the little pretty picture, but I went over there and I saw the thorn trees. Thorns about that long. They were sharp and mean. And when they made that thing, they jammed it down over his head. Come on, King. Who do you, you know, who you think you are? And they jammed that thing down. I promise you, they ripped probably two inch long rips down his head, and the blood just flowed out of his head. He said his back was plowed like a field. The Bible said they beat him beyond recognition. I'm telling you, brethren, this for a reason. He was the finality of the blood covenant. He was the finishing. The whole world was flooded with water, showing the finishing of the water covenant. And then there was bloodbath all the way through the Old Testament. Blood, blood, blood. Go into that city, kill every man, kill every woman, kill every child, kill every beast. Bring those spoils out. And when the Lord comes walking in, he goes, is that, what is that I'm hearing? He heard the livestock that they say and brought the curse to him. Come on now. Achan, he decided he wanted to keep a little spoils of the gold and went and hid them in the tent and brought death to his whole entire family. Killed him, his wife, his children, and all of his livestock. You see, God does everything in a completion. Amen. So, you know, we got to be able to find the revelation of what I'm saying here. So then we see this water covenant with a great flooding of the earth showing a completion of it. And then it was an introduction, and there was the introduction happened during the water covenant at the violation of it, of the killing of a beast to bring a covering. Jesus Christ, our covering, showed the finality of it down at the very end, the close out. Now, if you remember when God found the earth, it was without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved over the waters. Okay, the water covenant, he brought in, he said, let there be light. He started speaking. It wasn't the creation of the earth there. The Bible doesn't teach that. It doesn't teach that. It just says it was without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. And he brought forth what could be inhabited by man. You understand that? Now, the thing is we go into the next dimension, the second dimension, and you look at yourself. Before you were born again, you were still a man, wasn't you? Come on now. But the Spirit of God moved over you. And you're mostly about 67% water. And the Spirit of God moved over the waters, and you was without form and void, and darkness of your intellectual ignorance was all over you. And you was without form and void. Can I add some words? Nah, I won't do it. I'm going to be nice. But that's what you were in your first birth. You're too sensitive. You know, like, well, you know, you got to be nice. You need to go listen to the way the Lord Jesus spoke to a bunch of hard-headed people. Come on now. They want to make him politically correct like they want him. That's why I like Trump. He's not politically correct. He ain't going to get in their mold. And I'm not going to get in your religious mold. I'm not going to fit in your religious mold. I absolutely will kick against it. And I'm going to go because I am not going to fit in the thing that's going to put you in hell. And I'm not going to do anything to help you along thinking that your way's right. Because your way is gone. It's over. It's finished. Just like the water covenant was. Just like the blood covenant. You say you finished in the spirit? Absolutely not. If you wait and hear the end of the matter, there is no end of the spirit covenant. That's the one and eternal day of the Lord. Amen. Now that we know the earth again is going to go through another transition. It's tilted on its axis, showing man. Man in the fall, tilted on his axis. We bring this man upright by being filled with the Holy Ghost. We bring him upright in righteousness, according to the word of God. We bring the man that's fallen on his image, and we bring him upright in righteousness. We walk without reproach. We walk as the children of God. We keep a good name within and without. We keep ourselves untainted from the things of the world. The Bible said a soldier, okay? A soldier, it says, one that comes out of the world, and they're not tainted by the world, okay? We're soldiers for Christ, amen? So, we start looking to see this man comes upright, so the earth has got to do the same thing. Earth tilted on its axis, that's why there's four seasons. The earth is going to come upright. It's not long away now, brethren. What you're going to see in the 7 years of tribulation is going to be a judgment to this earth because it has to do relative to the Jew. The Jew's relative to the first promise because they have to do with the first covenant. They have to do with the natural Jew. I have to do and you have to do if you're born again with the spiritual Jew. Two different covenants. We're not relative to the earth. The Bible said we were sown in mortal and raised in immortality. Sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. You see, we're talking about the spirit Jew. And you say, but the natural Jew, Brother Rom, there's a place for the natural Jew. But what's going to take place is when it goes back. If I took time tonight to talk about Rachel and Leah again, Rachel and Leah show the same revelation. Leah shows the natural Jew and Rachel shows the spiritual side. When Jacob got Leah, he was really desiring Rachel. When the Lord was to the natural Jew, he was really desiring the spiritual. This is where we came in. But what happened was when Rachel came in after the seven, you've got to think of the tribulation. But when Rachel came in, she brought forth Benjamin, having to do with the promise seed, the elect. But when Benjamin comes in and has come in, then what happens, then Rachel died. Having to do with the church and the bride. Now this is going to really be a problem to the message people because they're the bride. Their whole message is the bride, the bride, the bride. And it was a very fitting and a purpose for it. And there's a time for the bride. But if you go into the book of Revelations, when the woman was there to bring, to travail, to bring forth the child was caught up to the throne. And it's the child that's the heir to the throne. Amen. Now you see, this isn't doing away with a message. It's the fulfillment of a message. Now the thing is the message has got to change from the bride to the son. Because it's the son that brings forth the heir to the throne and brings forth the rod of iron to rule with. The Bible said the woman can't even speak in the church. You understand? So we got to go beyond the bride realm. We got to go and depart from the bride realm. The bride, the woman was saved in childbearing to bring forth the heir to the throne. And the heir to the throne is what's going to rule. You see, this isn't disrespect to no message, brethren. It's the fulfillment of a message. A revelation of the message. You understand that? But people have troubles with it. They show this is why we got to see when the Bible again, Romans 1:20 said, the unseen things of the spirit world are revealed by the things which do appear. So what are we talking about? Trump has come forth as something we could see, and he's showing something in a revelation. And the thing is that people are blind in their religious ideologies and theologies and their denominationalisms. Brother Branham, one of the most significant part of his messages was don't and to pull away from the denominations. And he had a strong, powerful message against denomination, denomination, denomination. Brother Pike the same way. But if we're not careful, we just turn into another denomination. That's what we do, man. We're message people. We're Bethlehemites. This is what we do, man. We get together. We fellowship this way. We do this. And we're religious. We should go listen to what them leaders said. Brother Branham said he'll just draw a bigger circle around you to get you in. Amen. So, let's go on for a moment now. So we see that this man comes upright in righteousness by being filled with the Holy Ghost. So he comes upright. We see the earth at this tribulation time and tribulation period. This earth is going to snap upright. I'm telling you that. This is why there ain't going to be one stone left top on another. Everybody's taking the nuclear powers and this and that. And God will allow some of that, I'm sure. I'm not going to tell you no different than that. But this earth will come upright. And when it does, the land masses will change. And you know that this transformed. Now we got to think of the translation, transformation, transfiguration. Three biblical terms. I've been translated into the kingdom of God according to the word. Transformation of mind and thought. By transforming my mind, renewing my mind. Let this mind be in you. The Bible says that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So that's the transformation realm. And then the transfiguration is to wit the redemption of the body. That's what the last trump has to do with. It's a collective change. That's where they all change in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, that's a collective thing. Otherwise, in the translation, there'll be times that people are coming and times and seasons, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Let me go on here. So we see that the earth pumps up, right? The water things change. This is going to set up a beautiful earth for the Jews to fulfill the final 1,000 years. If you go back over into the book of Daniel, and you're going to find out and reading over there of the prophecy, and it said that there was 490 years appointed to fulfill the end of time. And there was 483 years of that fulfilled there at Calvary. Now the thing is when you've seen the angel with one foot on the land and another on the sea with his hands lifted up towards heaven, and he said, time is no more. That's a stopping of time there. But see, people won't understand that. But what we're talking is, see, there's a time of what we would go into in dispensations. There was a time of the Jew, a time of the law. There's a time of grace. These having to do with dispensations. So now, if we go over and we start looking at things in a timely fashion, the angel stood with one foot on the land and the sea. Brother Branham and Brother Pike and some of these guys looked at some of Larkin's writings. And Brother Larkin even brought some things out, and he said that they did not see the church ages there. They looked beyond and over the church ages. So what did they see when they looked beyond the church age? They seen the seven coming back in. So the 483, when the seven comes back in, showing Moses and Elijah, and it's showing these two candlesticks. When these things come back together, brethren, that's when the fulfillment of time has come back in, and that 7 to the 43 is going to be the fulfillment of the 490. This is what we're talking about, this trump. The last trump, see, it's going to be the finalization to all the understanding and revelations and beliefs. You know, people were saying Brother Branham was this final messenger. I don't have no problem with that. I agree with that. But the Bible said the law and the prophets were unto John, and the kingdom was preached. So there was something that has taken place in the last 50 years that this brother's been off the scene. Some of the message people said that God has not spoke to a man since Brother William Branham left. I've sat and talked with him in depths. That violates the scriptures and the word of God, because the Bible said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. God has never quit talking to his children, ever. Amen? Never. He said, my sheep know my voice. Amen. The Bible says to cast down every vain thought and vain imagination that will exalt itself before the knowledge of God. We got to differentiate the thoughts, and the thoughts will bring forth the voice and the mind of God speaking to us. Now, I'm not speaking against message people. I was talking about a message, a messenger in the message people that told me that. Is that correct, Brother John? It's exactly what he told us. And the thing is see, I don't have to eat that. He might consider himself, as he speaks about one of the greatest men of God that ever walked the earth. He could talk about him when he walked and what he said and this and that, but he can go into gross error by saying things like that, because that man that had a message never spoke that kind of foolishness. Amen. He said, as long as there was a people, there would be a message. Amen. That's what he said. So, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say that God is still moving in the affairs of his people. Amen. And he's never quit moving in humanity at no given time. Yes, there's been some great, powerful, powerful men of God that have been removed. Do you think how the people felt when they saw the Apostle Paul killed? Or when they saw Peter crucified upside down? And they've seen some of these things over the years. There's been great men of God, great, powerful men of God. And when you get into some of the messages that these men, that they brought forth about the church age messengers, these seven, and they speak about them, they name them. And you think about, think about John Wesley. Look at the work of his work as a Methodist church. There's probably not more of a perverted church in the world right now than the Wesley church. But let's talk about Luther. He was a man that come with a message of faith and put his life on the line to bring people out of the clutches of Catholicism, because the Catholic Church was the move of God at one time, but it went off into humanism and went off into things. You see, every great, powerful move of God, what happens when the man that orchestrated it got in, and then the devil sent spots and blemishes in the Feast of Charity, and they started perverting it. Many times it comes from the children of the great men of God that brought these messages. It comes through their children. I'm not saying in all cases, but in many, 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 many times it does. I can talk about Brother Pike. I can talk about what his children have done to that great message of revelation of Jesus Christ and what they've done to take it to their own fleshly gains and their own self. You say, Brother Rob, you don't need to speak about those things. You think I'm speaking about those things to reflect a mind against those people? No, it's to prompt you into being cautious and being careful, because there's a master of deception in the land, and he's the master of it, and he'll come in and you'll think that you know something, but like the Bible said, you don't know what you ought to know. So don't be overconfident in what you think you know. You need to be humble before God and say, God, have mercy on me. Show me grace. Help me, Lord God. Lead me. Direct me. Father God, I don't want to get caught in a snare. The Bible said the whole world follows after the Antichrist. The whole world, brethren. So don't get arrogant and haughty, man, about you being somebody great. Because this whole world, and he's the master of deception, he's the God of this world. He's the prince and the power of the air. And you say, Brother Rob, don't keep giving the guy power. I don't need to give him power. He's done robbed it and taken it, and he's the squadron. He's stole this world away, and he's operating it. I'm just letting you know that if you're going to fight him, you better know what you're up against. Amen. And I'm going to teach you how to fight the fight of faith. And you will not ever be yielded down to his devices and his wiles. But you have to know how to fight. But if you go in there with your intellectual concepts, oh, praise God, get behind me, Satan, you'll be like the seven sons of Sceva. And you'll be laying there beat up, half dead, as the Bible says. Come on now, seven of them. One man full of the devil beat them all up. Come on now. Let me tell you something, you need to be careful. Amen. Seven. That was a pretty good showdown there, wasn't it? So you're going to give the devil some strength, aren't you? No. Can I go on for a moment? We haven't got to read yet. So we find out that this earth comes upright showing something. It's a fulfillment, finality. The water's finished when it flooded. And you see, we're baptized by water and by fire. Now the thing is when this world goes upright, it's going to be purged by fire this time. This whole world is going to be purged by fire, brethren. I'm telling you, it has to be to fulfill the word of God. Okay, so now, what about this vessel, man? I've been purged by fire. John the Baptist said there's going to one come after me that I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I fulfilled water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's the fire that purges the dross and the impure things out. Now, the Bible said, blessed is the man who God does not impute sin. Now the thing is you say, well, brethren, you know, I'm born of God. And the Bible says that ye that are born of God cannot sin. It didn't say you might or might slip or fall. He said you cannot. You know why a son of God cannot sin? Because if you sin, that's the sting of death. And if you sin, that means you could die. And that violates what Jesus done. And you're not in the covenant with him. Because the covenant that he brought us into, death was abolished. And death was abolished because sin was done away with. And the law that brought forth the sin, the law was done away with. And when the law was done away with, then sin was done away with. And sin done away with, and death is done away with. And the Bible says that you're more than conquerors. Why? Because death has been abolished. See, it's not your works, it's his works. Accept it and believe it. Okay, well, Brother Rob, so I believe that Jesus did all these great things for me, and that death is the last thing we've gotten, it was abolished and done away with. And I've come to a place that I passed from death unto life, and I'm more than a conqueror. I wish this wasn't boring to some of you. it could really hinder the move of the Spirit, because I'll tell you, there's some things. So see, I'm going over old things right now. Could bring you into some revelation. But when you know so much and so doggone overconfident in yourself, you just sit and hinder and rob a service and cause others that they won't get it. Let me go on for a moment. See, now, see, I got to find the revelation. Got to get back to it now. Because, see, the hindrances. You see how things happen? Hindrances like that just absolutely shut it down. And we just close service and go home. But there was a beautiful thing going, but there's just some that just don't, from overconfidence and thinking too highly of themselves and different things that causes these kind of problems. So I'm going to trust the Lord, so just try to bear with me for a moment. It's still early yet. Now, said some mighty things, if you could see them. Sometimes I could bring forth a something, if I was teaching a mathematics class tonight, and I could bring forth a formulation of numbers. But that formulation of those numbers, one person here is 4, you know, 4 to the power of this, and 8, and then this, and I could lay this stuff out and say, oh man, don't mean nothing. But if you put the formulation together, it can bring forth an equation that would absolutely unveil some hidden things that's been hidden from humanity and mankind. And this is the only way that you could bring a revelation to man, is you got to come through his senses to bring it down into a natural thing and find him in a continuity of a flow of watching the revelational perspective unfolding. And then all of a sudden they'll stand, find themselves standing beyond the veil of time, looking in beyond the curtain and saying, wow, that's what it's all about. Amen. So I'm struggling to lead you down this pathway that we could see and comprehend and understand. And I have to use certain ways to get you there. Amen. So, as we talk about the earth comes upright, okay, you might say old news. Okay, then after this thing comes upright, it's going to set up for the natural elect. Now you see, there's people that believe in pre-tribulation rapture, and there's people that believe in post-tribulation rapture. And they're both right. Say, well, you know, Brother William Branham, Brother George Pike believed in pre-tribulation rapture. And I said, they both did, yes. But, you know, they had a revelation and an understanding at the very same time. Because the Bible said there's elect in the tribulation. That's the Bible. So post-tribulation rapture people have Bible. Amen? They got as much Bible as you pre-tribulation people. But you're both right. You see, the thing is the natural elect, the elect that are going to be in the tribulation period is going to be the Jew. They're God's natural elect. They're his elect seed. This is why the serpent seed message, and why it was so important to fulfill a blood seed all the way up to Jesus Christ at Calvary. And if you would really come to the revelation and understanding, the serpent seed was finished with death and it was abolished. You understand that? The serpent seed was abolished at Calvary because Jesus fulfilled what he came to do and abolished death, because the serpent has to do with death. Now, but what is the next thing? The Bible said it's the seed that remaineth in you that keepeth you from sin. And when you're kept from sin, that means that you've already passed from death unto life. There's no serpent there. He's not in the third heaven. Now you say, but Brother Rob, you can't speak that way. We most definitely can speak this way, because we speak by the mind of revelation and the mind of Christ, with a profession of Jesus Christ being the high priest of our profession. So, if he said it's finished, then it's done. So when's it going to be done if it isn't already done? If death isn't abolished, when is it going to be abolished? If Jesus didn't abolish death at Calvary, then it'll never be abolished. And when he came forth in the resurrection, brethren, that showed that death was abolished and conquered right there. And we know him in the resurrection, and we're the children of the resurrection according to the Bible. So the Bible said, beloved, now ye are the sons of God. You say, now we are the sons of God. So the apostle Paul said, I'd like to speak to you as unto spirituals, but I find you still yet carnal. Now this is the religion of America. They want to keep you carnal, and they want to teach you everything by carnal. And they want to talk about Father, and we want to talk about the Son, and we want to talk about the Holy Ghost being a person. And they keep everything carnal in their realm. But we've gone beyond that. Amen. And come to the divine understanding of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and went beyond this to the point of understanding the mysteries because we're stewards of the mysteries, and we come to the revelation and understand that we will do greater things than the Lord Jesus Christ done. Now, see, that makes people ill right there. But that's what he said, and that's what his word says. And we understand why we could do it, because he had to abolish death for we could do greater things, and we could bring people into life because of what he had to finish. But when he finished it, he departed and left it and sent back his spirit. The same spirit, the Bible said, it dwelled in Jesus Christ. He would send back to dwell where? In our mortal bodies. This is a mortal body, but there's an eternal spirit living in it. And it's no longer the man that speaks, as according to Paul in Galatians, the second chapter, 20th verse, he said, it's no longer I, but it's Christ. It's now Christ. See, you got to come to that understanding. What you do the least. I'm the least of y'all. It's ain't about me. It's about him. I'm the least of all of you. If we can really establish that. But he said, what you do to the least is what you've done unto me. So if you could do that, the Bible says that judgment, it said that the least in the church, this is what the Bible says, New Testament doctrine, the least of you'll be able to judge all the matters. The Bible said, ye that are spiritual judge all things. But we got churches teaching you can't judge. Don't you judge me. When you hear somebody say you can't judge, you just heard the voice of the devil. Then what you need to do is speak back, say, I've sinned into the world to judge all things through the mind of Christ, the mind of revelation. When the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged, it's telling you how to judge. If I judge you out of some carnal concept of me thinking I'm better than you, then I'm going to bring the wrath and judgment down on my head. It's just telling me how to judge, brother. It didn't tell me not to judge. It's telling me how. It said, judge not lest you be judged. In other words, if I'm going to judge that way, I'm going to bring judgment. Don't judge that way. Judge by the mind. The Bible said, ye that are spiritual, judge all things. Amen. And it teaches again, the least in the church, judge all the matters. The least. So don't forget that. Okay, let's go on now. So now we come into the blood covenant. We find this blood covenant. We find this introduction of it in the garden during this water time. Then there was an introduction that came all the way through with a bloodbath. Jesus finishing the blood there at Calvary said the final thing he said, it's finished. Amen. Gave up the ghost. It's finished. The blood covenant was done then. This is why we go back into New Testament doctrine. And it said, once you've come to the knowledge of the truth and been partakers of this world to come, I'm just paraphrasing. You can find fault with me because I'm not speaking, you know, verbatim of the scriptures, but I'm speaking by the mind of Christ. So the thing is, brethren, is when the Bible teaches us this, now listen, when it teaches us that once you've come to this knowledge of the truth and been partakers of this world to come, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. There does, there remain no more. And if you go on and continue on, it says, God forbid, but it said you have one thing to look forward to is the fiery indignation of God. Now, if you're a son of God and you do these willful acts of disobedience, you're going to get chastened by the fire of God. He's going to put you through the fire. Anybody ever been through the fire before? The rest of you are going to hell for lying. I've been through the fire. Amen. Now, you see, that's a judgment. The Bible said that he chastens them that he loves. He said, if you're not chastened, then you're a bastard child. In other words, you don't know the Father. That's biblical terminology. A preacher told me, he said, well, you need to say illegitimate son there. You know, well, you've been reading too much NIV, my friend. I'm going to preach it like the Word of God gave it. Amen. You know, and you say bastard's offensive. I know you're an offense to me when you're a bastard. You know, you are. You're offense to me because you're a stench in the nostrils of God and you're one to me too because I'm a son of God, a servant of God. Come on, there's nothing wrong with that, brethren. You know, and if they're offended, see, this is what we are. We're in a politically correct society, and we're in this politically religious society. These people of the religion, they put you in a little basket. Well, this is what you do. This is how you talk. You don't do this. You don't do that. And they send them all the same cemetery schools. They send them all to the same things, and they all come into one mind and one accord. They don't pierce each other through nor break rank, and that's the counterfeit church. It looks like what they say. Oh, but we just got to love one another. We got to love everybody. Is that what the Bible says? Absolutely not. He said, when a brother walks disorderly, to break fellowship with them. Two can't walk together lest they be in agreement. Evil communications corrupt good manners. I am not going to go out here and fellowship with people that are in a different mind and ain't walking in the revelation of Jesus Christ that are degrading and defacing everything. The Bible said, do not remove the old landmarks. So when you're involved with a message of whatever group of people it is, and you see that they've departed from what the founder said, then they've departed the landmarks. The Bible said we can't move those things. We stay within them. You see, I told you I'm not a numerologist, but many great men of God have learned that there's many things that happens in numbers. 40 is a very significant number in the Bible. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. 40 stripes less one. You know, we could talk about the 40 years in the wilderness. We can go 40 is a very significant number. We can talk about half of 40, which is 20, the ones that were over the age of 20 that came out of the bondage, out of Egypt. None of them made it into Canaan land except two, Joshua and Caleb. Okay, only two of them made it. The earth opened up and saw 20 is a very significant number. So numbers are very important in the Bible. Seven, a very significant number. Five for the fivefold ministry. It also has to do with grace. Very significant. There's a lot of numbers, amen, that are very significant in the Bible. And see, I didn't know this, and I looked it up the other day. I knew four had to do with judgment, but I looked up and 44 had to do with judgment to humanity. Well, see, Obama was the 44th president, and I knew what he had to do with. I brought it out in his church in the revelation of what he had to show and what he had to do with. And I speak it in a veil because of too many people. You know, you'll get people thinking, well, he's a black man, he's a devil. So you have to refrain from speaking because they get, you know, thinking. I mean, this has been going on for many, many years. If you go back to Joseph Smith, he said a black man couldn't be in the presbytery, and the black man had to do with judgment, and a black man was bad in the world before, and he believed in these seven worlds, that in the world before you was in a world and you were living Bible, and the darker your skin color, the worse you was in the previous world. And your skin get darker and darker and you die, or your skin gets lighter and lighter and you become a god. He had a revelation. But see, he put it in a wrong dimension. You see, because darkness does have to do. There's a very significant thing in darkness and light. Amen? And there is very allegoric even to the color of mankind. But it's an allegory. It's not a revelation. There's an understanding that comes with it that you must have. And we got to be very careful, especially in the racism-sensitive culture that we got now. I just found out something yesterday I didn't know. I can't call an Oriental person an Oriental no more. Man, I'm sorry, man. I've known him that way all my life. Yeah, that's my Oriental friend. The only thing I can call Oriental now, if I'm going to be politically correct, is a rug. Come on, I'm telling you the truth. If you call a man an Oriental, it's like calling a black person a Negro. You know? Well, I mean, that used to be standard terminology. It wasn't offensive to them. It wasn't offensive to the black people, but now it is. And you know, we got our own restaurant called Cracker Barrel, and that's supposed to be offensive. I'm sorry, man. No, listen. I talked to a guy in prison the other day. I said, is that really offensive to you? And he goes, yeah, don't say that, Brother Rob. I said, cracker? That really bothers you? Man, I don't care if somebody calls me a cracker. Huh? Yeah, amen. You know, I'm thinking, but see, we're in a messed up world. But you know, so you got to call them Asian. You know, and now we can't use Jesus. You know? And it's like when I go and talk to this army chaplain. Well, you know, we got to talk about God. Yeah, come on, man. That's what the Alcoholics Anonymous done years ago. Well, the higher power. Yeah, there is no high power except Jesus. Amen. And we don't need to be ashamed of that name. We need to speak it every opportunity we get. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go on a minute. Now, we're speaking right now on this aspect of thought, that we find the blood covenant being fulfilled. You see, you start teaching this, people think, well, Brother Rob's doing away with the blood. Absolutely not. You understand, when a child is born, it's going to come through the water and there's going to be blood that goes forth, and then you get the child, the life. But it wasn't going to bypass that realm. And you as the Son of God are not going to bypass the blood. The blood has to do with the door that was open in heaven. You got to go through the blood. Amen. If you get your dimensions right, the first heaven, second heaven, and third heaven, Jesus came in he was the mediator between the spirit world and man, the second heaven. Jesus is the door. He's the cross. He's the way. You got to come to go through the second to get into the third. You will not bypass the second heaven. There's some people think they're so spiritual, they're going to bypass suffering, they're going to bypass the cross, they're going to bypass. But if the Son of Man that came and walked among men didn't bypass it, he had a struggle with the Father about it. He said, man, if this cup could pass from me, he said, no, but nevertheless, let your will be done. You got to do the same thing today. You say, here I am, Lord. And the Bible said to prepare yourself with a mind to suffer. Now, we had a preacher come in here, got behind this sacred desk. He said, if you're in a church and they're preaching suffering and teaching you that you got to suffer, you need to run from it. And I said, boy, you better start reading your Bible. The guy was lucky I didn't come and pick him up and walk him out the door talking that kind of ignorance. Because I got too much Bible saying to equip and prepare ourselves to gird up your loins and be men. Amen. On the day of persecutions and to rejoice and praise him. Amen. You know, even the Apostle Paul sought him, you know, for this buffer of Satan. You know, he said, my grace is sufficient. So, brethren, people will see. Let me tell you something. When Jesus was on the cross, there was a centurion to come to know him as his salvation. And when you're a preacher and you're on the cross and they're lying against you and they're persecuting you and they're cheating you and they're robbing you and you're smiling and you're loving them, people get saved. They say, that man must be like God. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, so then we see here in this blood that we say that once we come to this knowledge, then we don't keep on pleading the blood. We don't go and plead the blood. You see, now I told you that I got this Pentecostal preacher so mad at me, he wanted to fight with me because I called him a Catholic priest because he kept on pleading the blood over people. You know, when you got a deacon in your church and he goes off and sleeps with Jezebel and he comes back and the preacher's going to say, oh, I plead the blood of Jesus on you. That man is a Catholic priest. He's going to go to hell with the rest of the Catholics and be chewing on him. There ain't no blood covering for that man. He knew it was wrong and he knew it wasn't right. You know, you need to cast the devil out of that man. And the thing is he could find repentance with God. But he's going to pay a price and he's going to take a back seat, number one. He ain't going to remain in his position as a deacon no longer. He'll be removed from this holy office. And the same with preachers that do the very same thing. This is why we got such a perversion in the ministry today, because they just let them go over and they plead the blood of Jesus. Oh, God, have mercy. You know, I got the passions of my flesh and I ran off with the secretary of the church, you know, and they get before the people like Jimmy Swagger did and they cry. They have to be removed by the mind of the Word and by the mind of God. They have to be removed. Yes, they could still have salvation. They could be saved, but they'll pay a price on this side to fulfill the righteousness and the Word of God. Amen. But you can't restore them back into the sacred desk. Amen. It cannot be done. Amen. Now, there's some considerations over much prayer and fasting that could be done in certain cases, but they're very rare. And I'm talking about little youngins, like been raised up under a man of God, a child. Maybe it was prophesied over a child that he had a calling in his life was going to fulfill. And the child, maybe in his teens, started to exercise the gifts and started to see the gifts. And then he went off and got off in the foolishness and the flesh in school or college or whatever. And he comes back in, you don't restore him promptly. But when he brings forth the fruit meant for repentance and you see the repentance and Christ in him, then he could be restored back to fulfill the ministry. Now, there's a very limited case there, but if it's one that's been in and out and up and down and in and out, he's a preacher today and then he's a bartender tomorrow, a preacher today and a bartender tomorrow, a preacher today and a whoremonger yesterday or whatever. Brethren, you know, then it's a different thing altogether. It reproaches the name of God and the kingdom of God. And so the Bible said we have a good name within and without. There's a lot of things, and I'm not trying to go and cross every T and dot every I tonight. I was trying to keep a little bit of a continuity. We still haven't read the word tonight. Now, so we see that there's a group of people that are trying to remain in the soul realm or the second heaven or the blood realm. Amen? And they like it. Now let's go back to the second heaven dimension for a moment. And we find the typical. We find that these people were bound in Egypt. The Hebrew children, they come out of Egypt. They find themselves in the wilderness. They come through the Red Sea showing a baptism. But they're out here in a wilderness wandering place. Okay, but what did they have going on in the wilderness? They had some miracles going on, huh? Didn't they? We know the water come forth out of a rock or they all would have perished immediately. They seen the salvation of the Lord when the Red Sea parted and they went right across on dry ground or they would have been killed. Okay, so they saw miracles, right? Now in the second heaven, you see, we see miracles because the rain comes on just and the unjust. So in the church dimension, having to do with the middle, has to do with grace, has to do with the blood, has to do with the bride, has to do with the woman. Remember, there's no woman in heaven. So we got to understand that the woman had a place to bring forth the heir to the throne. There's no woman in heaven. Now, I have a brother in the church here, and he wanted to wrestle with me, got upset, he got mad, and said, I'm teaching different than what Brother Pike taught and stuff, but we got to go with the Word. He took me to the Bible, and he says, hey, over here in Revelation, he said he wanted to show him his bride. But go and read about where he showed the bride adorned as a bride. And then it went on to tell there were still people thirsting there and drawing. So it didn't show the fulfillment yet. But I'm telling you, this is what the Bible says. There's no male nor female. And there's no marriage or given to marriage. So what do you have a bride there if there's a marriage there? Come on now. It can't be. Marriage has to do with the second dimension, the second heaven. So the thing is the woman was there in travail to bring forth the child. The red dragon was there. In the Bible, we know the red dragon was cast out of the third, right? Yeah. Okay, we've seen it as lightning cast out of heaven. So then where's he at? He come all the way to the earth, but then he climbed up through the soul realm of man, the second heaven. And the reason he climbed up in the soul realm is because the first dimension, Jesus died for the sin of the flesh. There won't be one man in hell for the sin of the flesh, according to the Bible. It's the sin of the soul, the second heaven. So it goes back into a dimensional understanding. So the thing is when we get over here and we find again, the earth comes upright, we find the Jews coming back in, okay, we find that the second heaven, the blood realm, I took you to an example of Rachel and Leah. We know what kind of children come forth there. We know where the division came in with these children. And we go back to Abraham and Sarah the same way. We find the division between the proper child. And we go and we follow a serpent seed message all the way through Calvary. We follow that thing. Now, as Brother Pike said, he said, you want to understand serpent seed? He said, it's all flesh. All flesh is corrupted its way before God, according to the Bible. Okay? So all flesh is serpent seed. So we got to rend the veil and make our calling and election sure. Now, you got to understand the difference between the birth and the adoption. See, this is rending the veil again. The Bible said that there were some adopted. The Bible talks about a wild tree by nature, but grafted in. That has to do with an adoption also. But the Bible said there were some born. Okay, either born in the spirit. Well, I don't understand that. You see, the part of me that's adopted in is I brought this wild part by nature of my first birth, and it come upright just like the earth comes upright that the Jew's going to walk on with an earthly promise for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, be a battle of Gog and Magog, and then you're going to find out that this earth is going to be changed again, and it's going to go as transparent gold. It's going to go through a transfiguration, translation, transformation, transfiguration. Okay, so when it goes through the transfiguration, it'll be as transparent gold. It'll be beautiful. Now, the thing is I'm going through the fire now. Been baptized with the Holy Ghost fire, bring it upright. Amen. We're upright in righteousness of Christ, walking, casting down the thoughts and the vain imaginations, mortifying the man every day, taking up our cross and then walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. That's showing the same thing as the earth coming upright. So now, we do this in the dispensation of time of grace. And why the blood is on the mercy seat. Now we come upright, but we're spirit. We're sons of God. The Bible said the sons of God again are led by the Spirit of God. We pray in the Spirit. We listen in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. The Bible talks about three minds. The mind of the devil, the mind of man, and the mind of God. It talks about three dreams. The dream of my head that troubles me from God. The dream of a multitude of businesses from your man, from the mind of the man. The dream of the filthy dreamer is from Satan. So we got to differentiate our dreams. We got to differentiate our thoughts. The Bible says, 1 John 4 says, try the Spirit and see if it would be of God. Come on now, saints, try the Spirit and see if it would be of God. So you got to try every thought and everything that comes. So now we're still talking about the second dimension for a moment. We see the blood life is in the second dimension. The red dragon, the warfare, the fight. Red dragon has to do with my blood life, the flesh, serpent seed. As Brother Pike said, all flesh is serpent seed. So there's a war in my members of my flesh. Who's going to deliver me from the body of death is what the Apostle Paul said. So then we find that we've come to a revelation, an understanding, a knowledge that we no longer live, but now it's Christ that lives. And then we enter into sonship. The spirit man has been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. This natural man is transformation in his mind and adopting this thing for that the people of this world could see Christ and see the invisible things of God that they could desire, and you are what draws people into the kingdom. Now, the third heaven. Okay, so we talk about the earth comes upright and goes through the metamorphosis and the transfiguration. We talk about the butterfly, thy warm jacket, the Bible says, and the butterfly goes into the cocoon, second dimension, struggle, fight. It has to struggle out of that cocoon and it comes to a creature of life. The transfiguration has to do with that creature that breaks the gravitational pull. When you talk about the law, there's a law of gravity. But when you break the law of gravity, then you're into the law of flight, the rapture, the catching up. You understand that? So when we talk about the third heaven, we got to get into a different realm and a different thought and a different mind because it's different. Now, you've heard me doing a lot of teaching here lately and building people up to a profession, talking to a lot of people. We got a lot of people with negative confessions on a continuous basis. Now, the church world came to this revelation many, many years ago. You know, and it turned into a name it and claim it group. It turned into a group of people called the Word People and stuff. And they would go around speaking things and they turned it into prosperity, natural prosperity. Oh, you know, man, if you want that Cadillac, Brother John, just speak it, brother. Praise God. Oh, God wants to pour out a blessing on you, brother. Oh, he just wants to bless you, boy. I could see that new Lincoln Continental, brother. Praise be to Jesus. I've been there, man. I've watched it all. Help me, Jesus. You say, you're mocking them, Brother Rob. You know, the Bible said they're little children. They come into the house, they sit down to eat, and they rise up and play. Amen. I started to tell you I was going to share something that took place while I was gone, and this is the perfect time for it because it would help us to go right on in. I'm going to speak with it somewhat in a bell if I can. We met a family, okay, and they have a child that's about 19 years old that has wrote a wonderful, marvelous book. Amen. And I'm going to do, and I've already have, I'm going to do more, and I'm going to spend some finances, probably a few $100 to help promote this book. And the book is written for cancer children, for little babies that have cancer, that don't understand it, that are scared to death. And this woman had, this little girl started writing this thing when she was about 12 years old. And she just now finished it at 19 years old. And, you know, but as she learned and grew up and got more understanding, the Lord helped her with it. And it's an absolutely phenomenal little book, okay? And it deals with little children. And it talks to them in a simple level about God and how they don't have to have fear. And it is absolutely beautiful. And I tell you, that's what I'm talking about. I could promote that. But the mother, they go to a church, and there's some things that are happening in the spirit. And they go to a church that doesn't believe in the move of the Spirit. And then it puts me in a very awkward position to talk because they said, we have been looking for somebody for 6 years that we could talk to about this. And we've never met a man, a pastor, a minister ever. Now, this wasn't flattery. I'm going to tell you, I know flattery and I draw up and I run from it. I don't like flattery. It digs a pit. Believe me, I know this. Not everybody has that revelation, but it turns my stomach fast. But she said, and she was crying when she's telling me, she said, we have been looking. She goes, I'm afraid to speak because I've been holding this in for so many years because I've never found somebody I feel like I could speak this to. So I give her word. I mean, the word started coming forth from me. Word, 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 word. And they were moved by the word of God. Wasn't by Brother Rob, but it was by the word. And I gave them word to explain to them and show them what was happening because they didn't know if it was the devil or if it was God. But you see, here's where the differentiation comes in. The Spirit of God could start moving in your life and the gifts. And if you're not sensitive and cautious and careful, the devil's going to come in with the familiar, similar. And sometimes if we're not keen and watching and discern, he's going to come in and he'll be using your platform just slap fast. That fast. I could take you in the Bible and show it to you. We're a great man of God. He said, upon this rock, build the church. And he said, right after he told me that, get ye behind me, Satan. You see, he yielded to another spirit that fast. You can do it. Peter done it. And I can do it. And I've done it. And I'll probably do it again. God have mercy. I'm not confessing to my weakness, but I say like the Apostle Paul, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? The things that I want to do, I find myself not doing. And the very things that I don't want to do are the things that I do. God have mercy on me. Now, that was a great man of God, and look how much orchestration he'd done. But he had a revelation, and he knew he had something weak laying in his own members. And when you come to that revelation and recognize your weakness, but when you want to keep coming around people and projecting yourself of being, oh, I've got it under control. I'm the one. I'm the man. I got the revelation. Man, you're a stench in the nostrils of God. You are nothing but a man, and at your very best, righteousness is filthy rags. If you would come to that revelation and say, God, if you could just find this vessel fit that you could use me for your honor, for your glory, for your praise, Lord God, let me remove myself, Lord God, and use me to speak your word, Lord God. Then you are a candidate at that point of time that he could use you. But you must decrease, for he can increase. But you like to take what little bit you get and project yourself and say, man, look at me. Come on, man. I know man. All men's hearts are fashioned like. You know why I talk like that? Because we all deal with them devils. Come on, man. You know, but you don't have enough humility to admit that. You know, say, God, have mercy on me. I don't want to get in your way, Lord God. And the thing is when a man steps in the way and said, boy, look at this, man. I've been praying. I've been fasting, man. I've been studying, boy, boy. Tell me, I was talking with preaching on that, man. I showed them. I'm thinking, oh, my God. Whew, help me, Jesus. Amen. All right. Did you stay with me? Okay, thank you. Verse 32, 1 Corinthians 15. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage of me? If the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Why did you have me read that, Lord? You know, what Brother William Branham, what Brother George Pike, what Brother Martin Luther, what Brother Wesley, you know, what Brother Martin, are we going back, you know, I'm sure you could name all these different terms. What if this message isn't fulfilled? Then why preach? What do we got to say? If it isn't being fulfilled or isn't fulfilled, if it isn't finished, that's not at all where I was going to read. I got to go on down a little bit farther. But I'm going to say a couple things right here. Brother Whitlow, I'll use him for an example. Brother John's doing very well. Sent me a letter this morning. Thank you, Brother John. I appreciate you. When I say appreciate your humility and thanks that you showed forth in this letter. I think you're doing well. I'm glad to have you here. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Well, Brother Whitlow came to me a few years back and he said, Brother Rom, he said, I can't follow you. He said, you're not like Brother George. And he was a kid. He sat under Brother George and he saw some things and understood some things, but he didn't see what he needed to see, and he didn't know what he ought to know. Amen. And he needed a pastor like me. And in his arrogance and his haughtiness, you know, I can't follow you, man. You're not like Brother George. No, I wasn't. But I told him, this was my reply to him many years ago. I said, Brother John, I said, I got enough God that's kept me off the alcohol and the dope and the drugs for about, at that particular time, about 25 years. And when he said that, I've been married 41 years now, and this question goes back, I was probably married about 25 years at that time. And I said, I got enough God to keep the same wife for 25 years. I got enough God to keep me off the dope and the alcohol and set me free from that. I'm not struggling with that and fighting with that. I said, I think I could help you. But he went on his way, lost his marriage, turned into a whoremongering, dope, drunk, and things of such. You say, why are you using this brother as an example? Because that's every one of us if we're not careful. Arrogance and haughtiness and overconfidence and thinking that we're more spiritual, judging a man of God. And you see, he was comparing me to a very bright light and a very powerful man of God. But he was doing it in such a way for he could feel justified not to submit to whatever measure I got. I may not have the measure that Brother William Branham had, or I may not have the measure that Brother George Pike had, but I got enough measure that I said, son, I could help you. Amen. Walk in the Spirit. I could lead you and direct you and guide you. And what it was a demon spirit in him. It wasn't the revelation of Christ, because the revelation of Christ would have esteemed me greater than himself, because that's what the Bible does when you get the revelation. The revelation of Christ esteems the other individual greater. Remember that. It's seeking after His prosperity, His blessings, His help, His strength, His everything. That's the revelation. That brings completion to you. But when you're seeking for yourself, you'll never find it. You'll be in a struggle forever. When you're looking for your ministry, God will blow on it and you'll never find it because you ain't got one. It's His ministry. Just be glad to be partakers with Him. Then you'll find fulfillment. But when you got your own ministry, you got your own thing, you got your own following, you got your own thing, you're not my people. I'm a servant of God. Amen. I'm here to serve you. I come lay my life down for you. I try to do that oftentimes. And you try to show in return. When you have the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God, you'll return. The bread will come back on the waters. Amen. So there's many, many things when it comes to the revelation of Jesus Christ. We've made it too complex and too complicated, and it's very simple. I mean to tell you, it's easy. It is so simple. And we're the ones that have put it into such a veil that we can never find it through our intellectual concepts. We've put this revelation so far and ungraspable, and we want to make a bunch of mystical things and mysteries and stuff when it's just simply Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that means that you deny yourself, deny your life, deny everything about you, and say, here I am, Jesus. Here I am. And let Him live and let Him move. And let me tell you something. He could come and talk to somebody about the most simplistic things, and you could see the most beautiful experience of life. Amen. And you see life come forth. That's what moves us. Amen. I remember when Brother Pike saw the Holy Ghost going to my mother. It wasn't a Pentecostal way. She didn't fall on the floor, start speaking in tongues or nothing. He just started weeping. He said, this is what I give my whole life for. She didn't change an expression on her face. She didn't shout. She didn't speak. She said nothing. He said, brother, that's what I give my whole life for. He said, did you see that? And I said, I see nothing. I was the old Pentecostal guy. Come on, Mom. Do something, man. Yeah. But he said, did you see that? You see, he was looking in another dimension altogether. You see, brethren, it's a sad thing to say. I've been in this church and I watched the spirit of death take one, and they were killed right in my presence and died and have no chance of life in this world or the world to come. And it tears you out of the frame because you're witnessing a real death. You see, and then you find that when you see somebody put in a box, they think, why don't you mourn? Why don't you this and that? Because that's not death. Death is the second death when you're cut off from God. And the Bible said some are twice dead, plucked up by the roots. So back in this situation with this family that we met, I'm going to close on this, I promise. It's almost 9 o'clock. They said, have never been able to find it. And they started asking questions. So I started sharing how the Spirit of God moves in humanity today. And started bringing them. And they were all struck for several hours. And I started going into, he started going into things to help them at their level. There was some things that were really frightening to me. Very frightening to me. Oh, I saw it perfectly clear. Oh, I could have offered the exhortation because they were looking for it, for what they were doing. But if I would have, it would have killed the gift. I saw the gift manifest to a childlike level to help little children in probably one of the most devastating times of a little natural life, to see a little beautiful baby going through cancer. And I saw this gift move and in such a beautiful way. It moved my heart to see it. But then yet started operating in the gifts in another realm, and I won't even begin to unveil it to you. And not that you, I mean, it just, I can't. but what I'm saying, my expression isn't so much about the individual. It's about the complication of seeing things in the spirit, and what do you do with it? In my early part of the ministry, when I started finding gifts in my life, like I told you, my wife was with me, and I went to church, started calling out every person in it. And I didn't know these people. I was traveling as an evangelist. I'd say, you back there. And they'd look and they'd go, like me? Because I don't know colors well. I might say, you in the jacket or whatever. And I'd give them a word. And the altars were filled with people repenting before God because they knew I was exposing things in their lives that they knew I did not know. I'm not talking about a word like, oh, God's going to bless you. God's going to open up the floodgates of heaven for you. Oh, you're never going to lack, Brother Larry. He's going to keep your refrigerator full. Those are words, yeah, God is a word of exhortation, or edification, to bring a comfort and things to you. Oh, yeah, man, I got peace. He's not going to let me go through this drought. He's going to keep me in the time of drought. He's going to keep my animals watered. He's going to keep me watered. You know, that God can give you an encouraging word like that. But sometimes it could be something in a prophetic utterance. The Bible says the dream of my head that troubles me is the dream from God. And it wasn't, you know, some flattery thing. Usually, I'll tell you how God deals with Brother Rob, okay? He might deal with you totally different. And maybe it might help you to discern what spirit it is, and you might just think it's God. God very seldom goes to a man and says, "You the one. You the one, brother. Ooh, man, you're going to be flying up above everybody else, and everybody's going to follow you in." Now, he'll encourage you, don't misunderstand, but you know why he don't do that? Because you already think that way anyway, and that'll kill you and destroy you. And when you have these dreams, and you're the one, and everybody's coming to you, and this and that, that's the dream of the multitude of your own counsel, because you think too highly of yourself. That dream wasn't from God. So when you're going to start following dreams, make sure that you learn to differentiate your dream. The Bible said, try the spirit, so it'd be of God. But the dream from God says it's one that troubles you. It's usually the one that's going to show something like John Loveman. You know, you better get on your knees and start spending a little bit more time with me. John Loveman, you better start fasting just a little bit more. And you need to start allowing to listen for you, allow the gifts to be moving. That's the way the Lord be speaking to Brother John. Amen, because he speaks to Brother Rob that way. Amen? So the Lord is going to take, and he's going to draw you into perfection. That's what he does. He's going to draw you. He's going to chasten you. He's going to discipline you. I mean, right here, the motto in this school is good isn't good enough when better is expected. You know, and you think, well, I'm doing pretty good. You know, man, I go to church. You know, I give 9% my finances. You know, come on, man, it ain't about finances, but what I'm saying is get over it. That ain't what he wants. He wants your life as a living sacrifice. I'll tell you, one of the greatest revelations that I came to is when I quit trying to figure out what my ministry was. I kept thinking, well, what is my ministry? What's he want me to do? Man, it's the biggest wilderness in the world. Man, it was destroying me. I was the man running and beating at the air and accomplishing nothing. Oh, people were getting saved. People were getting healed. And it was fitting in right with the rest of the religious world. But that's not what he wanted. He wanted me to shut up and say, here I am, Lord, whatever you want. If you want me to be a plumber in the church and fix the toilets, here I am. That's what he wanted, obedience. And when he saw the obedience, get down and humble yourself that you're not looking for the sacred desk, you're looking to be a servant, then he'll raise you up. But sometimes we want to take the front seat instead of the back seat. And he said, when you take the front, you'll be asked forward, but when you take the front, you'll be pushed back. See, this is all in the mind of Christ, in the mind of Revelation. So again, the sensitivity of dealing with this spirit, I could have unveiled some of the things that were frightening. And I mean that with all my heart. They're frightening to me because what sometimes we find ourselves dabbling in the real revelation of the spirit world and maybe a word of knowledge. Brother Pike said many people, they call discernment of spirit. He said just a gift of suspicion. I brought some messages out in this church called it intellectual discernment. The proper terminology for that would be called psychology. Psychology is an intellectual discernment. Well, you could look at accounts of a man. You could learn to judge his facial expressions. You could judge his eyes, his eyebrows. And there's people that are so keen in that. Man, they could discern when a man's truthful or lying or whatever. I got real good at it. I was watching Obama, and I could tell every time he was lying. I seen his lips moving. No, I'm kidding. That was psychology, no. I'm sorry, I shouldn't do that to you. Help me, Jesus. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. Amen. 72 more days left of him anyway, I think. Is that about right? Lord, have mercy. So I was telling you 44 had to do with a judgment to humanity. 45 has to do with the preserving of the old things. And that's what I said to you all the other night. I said, you know, I never really, you know, I've seen it could really go either way in the presidential thing to fit a pattern. But when I saw that 45, I said, you know what? Because see, this is why people don't like Brother Rob, because I'm trying to get him back to the old past and get out of this new modern day religious puke. And oh, God just loves everybody. They need like the old time preachers. You'd come in their churches and you smelled like smoke, they'd rebuke you. And they'd say, you need to get right with God. You're going to go to hell for that. And when the women dress provocative and like whores, they let them know, you need to get dressed, young lady, and you need to start looking like a lady. You look like a street-walking slut. Preachers used to talk that way. I'm sorry. You say, I don't know about that. I do. They used to have men of God that would preach the word, but now they've all been polished by the same old polishing ethics, you know, with the seeker-friendly churches, and just love everybody. Don't offend nobody. Everybody's going to be okay. We got to love them all. No, that's not the truth. God's sick of it. He said, I'll pursue them off the face of the earth. Amen. There's a revelation with Trump. So here he is coming in. What is he showing for the spiritual dimension, the spiritual realm? He's going to come in, and according to what this man's saying, now if we see fulfillment, it's another thing. He said he's going to remove some of these things that have been set up and found. He's going to have troubles doing it, I know. But he's going to put a stop to some of these multiplied years and years of socialism that's been creeping. He's going to do everything he can. And you say, well, Brother Rob, I understand that there's going to be an end and a collective change and stuff like that. But what would the last Trump show? The last Trump is going to show the change of this body, right? And it's going to show the people of this world of who you were all the time. It said when he appears that you'll appear like him and they'll know that you were a son of God from before time. Come on now. We're talking Bible now. So if this guy's representing something, the white-headed man, okay, and here he comes in. This Trump is appointed 70 years to the people. This man's 72 years old. And here he comes coming in having to do with the final Trump. In the scriptures that we're in right now, I could read over there about the last Trump, that the dead in Christ shall rise. Now see, here's where some of the problems come in, is, you know, when you say dead in Christ. I'm dead in Christ. I've already been crucified with him. And I've already risen. I am part of the resurrection. Okay? So what about the ones that have gone to sleep? Amen? Okay, if I go off out here and they put me in a box out here, that's what is considered sleep. Okay, that's part for the collective change. But am I out there sleeping in that box? The Bible's to be the absent from this body, to be present with the Lord. Amen. He suffered his body not to see corruption and pulled it forth to show the forerunner, okay, of this resurrection of many sons. That's what we are, brethren. We're with him now, dwelling with him now. But this is where the rapture teaching gets in error in the churches of America. The rapture teaching is in gross error because of this. What they do is they think, well, you know, one day we're just going to be changed in the moment, twinkling of an eye. That's Bible, yes. But you got to understand a little bit more than that. You got to understand that there's a fulfillment of three covenants, water, blood, and spirit. And the spirit change isn't going to take place unless you come through the door. And the people that come through the door are going to travail. The Paul said, I travail until Christ be formed in you. Amen. And there's going to be a travail through this second heaven, through the door where the red dragon was there to devour the child. But as soon as the child was born, where was it? Caught up to the throne. But there's a place prepared for the woman in the wilderness. Now you find out when they came out of Egypt, the bondage, they went into where? The wilderness. The place prepared in the wilderness has to do with the place in the second heaven. And that's where the blood is on the seat of atonement, on the mercy seat. And it's a place prepared for the woman to keep her preserved, okay, until the collective change. You understand that? So now, with some of those things said and what we're looking at right now in this final time of this last Trump, amen, it says in the moment, verse 52, let me go to 51 there. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Okay? So the ones that are asleep, the ones that are in the earth, back into the dust, into corruption, he's going to call every element back. You understand that? Science has proved that every single drop of water that was on this rock is still here. You know, see, everything will change elements. When you take a tree and burn it, it'll just change matter. You see, this is where the Catholic Church got into the dispute and changed the Word of God. You see, when they started getting involved in science, they started understanding what matter was, solids, gases, and liquids. And this is what part of this Nicene Council was about. Are these three the same substance? Are they the same matter? And they come up with a thing of yes. That's where they went wrong. You see, the Son of Man was robed. It was the Spirit, the invisible Spirit of God that no man has seen, robed in a body. Okay, the body went to corruption, but he said he suffered not the Holy One to see corruption, and he changed him in the moment, the twinkling of an eye. But you got to remember something. There was something that took place before then, and it's called the Mount of Transfiguration. So it was saying something has to take place before then, right? There had to have been something to take place. Now, if he's the forerunner and shows us this thing, there must be this take place in your life. Your spirit man is born. Your soul is transformed. Your body is transfigured. Translation to the spirit, transformation to the soul, the second dimension, the fight, the struggle, where the red dragon lays. And then the body is changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, collective thing. The transfiguration is a one-time collective thing. Okay? You say, well, Enoch, you know, he walked with God and was not. He was transfigured, you say. Okay? And then we say Jesus, but see, there had to be a forerunner to show from the old. The fulfillment comes over to the middle. Remember, we teach light, object, and shadow. 1, 2, 3 again. Light, Book of Revelations. Object, Jesus Christ, object of worship. Shadows, the Old Testament. So you say, well, I don't think these things are necessary. No, they're not for you. Amen. The Bible says, you know, not to leave the foundations of something, or tells us to leave the foundations of the blood, of the repentance, and leave those foundations and go on to these things that we're speaking about. So it may not be for you. You see, as the Apostle Paul made a statement, people go to this all the time. I had preachers say this to me, not once, not twice. Well, I just got to have this understanding of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I didn't come with no superior wisdom or knowledge, just Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But don't forget, that man went on from there. He didn't stop with that. And most of the time when you hear that, it's a preacher that's making excuses for his intellectual deadness and dullness and stuff, because he's never come to see beyond the veil into the divine revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those are the ones that will say that to you. Amen. There was a purpose, Paul said that. I didn't come with some superior wisdom, just with the knowledge of Him crucified, and that He lives and dwells in me. And that's all you need to know. But you allow Him. He said, don't take no script with you. You know, just go. You go and follow by the leading of the Lord, and you'll find the revelation coming forth through you, but you got to learn to yield to it. And what happens is, you know, I say, you brethren, you need to get prepared. Yes, always be prepared, but allow Him to take you another way. You know how many times I've come prepared in this church to bring a message, and the Lord, man, I walk up here, and I'm thinking, man, praise God, man, and He says, speaks another word to me, and I say, I can't even go there. Amen. That's what He done to me tonight. Amen. I had no intentions of going where we was at. And you say, I'm still waiting on the interpretation. Pray for the gift and you'd have heard it. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you, see, it's different than what you think it is. If there is a tongue, there has to be an interpretation, or they need to sit down and be silent. You see, but you've got an idea the way you think it is. See, the church world has an idea about a prophetic utterance. And this is the way they'll receive a prophetic utterance. See, I could have come up here and I could have stand up here and all of a sudden I could have jerked a shoulder. Come on now, I'm not mocking that, brother. I've been down this trail a long time. You know, I might have to shake a leg. You know, I might have to jump up and down or something. But, oh, thus saith the Lord. You know, and they've received then. I'm telling you, brother, I've been doing this a long time. I watched a man get behind the sacred desk and you know, it's like, oh man, praise God, hallelujah. Come on, brother, somebody say amen. Amen. And everybody's tuned in right then. You see, brethren, there's people that could work in things that are similar. Yes, I'm not mocking the anointing of God. I'd never do that. God have mercy on me. God could anoint a man and he could shake and jump. I've had him slam me on the floor, brother, and I was paralyzed. I could not move. I laid there. I was by myself, and he slammed me to the floor. I said, okay, you got my attention, sir. I could not move a finger. I couldn't move a limb. I was paralyzed. And I said, okay, yes, sir. You know, I'm here. Got my attention. Scared me, to be quite frank about it. I've had him do some stuff to me that made me literally shudder. My wife was a witness to me in a meeting one time, and the Spirit of God came on me. I shook so bad that the word shake does not fit the description. I jackhammered. And I mean, I was shaken uncontrollable. Man could not do that. I've never seen anything make a man uncontrollably shudder and shake like this. I know there was a movement of God called the Quakers, and they said that they would quake like that under the power of God. I never even heard of the Quakers when this happened to me. The only thing I knew when this happened to me was about drugs and marijuana and ignorance, man. And I was at a rock and roll place where I've been to rock and roll concerts, and my dad asked me to go there, and there was a preacher there. And the preacher was preaching, he was having an altar call, and the power of God hit me, and I jackhammered. I didn't even know what was going on. You know, I thought, whatever it is. So, you know, I'm part of the jackhammer church, man. I didn't even give my life to the Lord then. It scared me. I didn't know what it was, but there was something happening in my spirit, and God was calling me to something relative to another dimension, another realm. So I'm not mocking God or these ministers when I say that. But what happens is, you know, they think it's like Brother Arthur. And he told that church over there, he said the anointing could make a noise. But a noise doesn't always make an anointing. That's a very powerful. If he were to close the service right then, he said everything need be said in that church. But there's churches, and they get together and they'll start banging on the piano and somebody starts dancing and shouting and people get up and start having a good time. And man, praise God, we're in church. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. And they go and they leave fulfilled thinking, hey man, we had church time. Man, it's a good time. Praise God. I'm not against the good time, brethren, but somewhere there's got to be the word that penetrates the spirit. And the penetration of the spirit of the word will bring the change and bring fulfillment of life. You understand that? Church. Now I'm going to say this, and I'm promising we're closing. We should be closed. Stand with me, for you'll know I'm really closing. I'm going to try to say this in a veil, you know, because of women, children, everything. If you go into salvation, it's all a marriage relationship. The Bible said it's the seed that's in you that keepeth you from sin. You see, when a man plants the seed into the woman, it brings forth a life if the woman's not barren. Okay, and if all the cycle's right. The church service is exactly the relationship. The minister's bringing forth the seed of life. The women are being prompted, you if you're the bride of Christ, men and women alike, are being prompted by the word, by the singing and the music ministry, brings the foreplay for expression's sake. And I'm not trying to be crude here, brother, but I'm trying to get you into a revelational understanding. It brings the arousal, the stimulations and things like that for the seed could go forth. Amen. And there has to be seed. This is why Brother Rob's against a lot of these big music shows. They go around and they get the music and they sing and they have a good time. You see, during the time of the music, if there is, I got to be very cautious in speaking, I know, but during this preliminary time before the relationship to bring forth the seed, if there is the completion, we could say the climax of this thing, then it's all finished then. There's no seed time. There's no time for it to go. It was basically spent, and it won't go forth. If you can just stay in the revelation, I'm not talking filthy here, I'm not talking in perversions by no means, I'm talking in the revelation. And this got to understand what church is all about. So there's a proper time. This is why I like to have music ministry that's led by the Spirit. They could see that there's so far they could go. And then it goes forth with the word, and then there's an altar service at the same time. And see, as a minister is bringing forth that seed, sometimes it has to come forth by the laying on of hands. The apostles laid hands, and sometimes the minister could go too long and too far. You say, are you listening to yourself, Brother Rob? I'm not bringing forth seed, I'm bringing forth revelation to keep now. Amen. You understand that? And yes, there's still seed going forth, but sometimes, brethren, they can go too long, and the same thing takes place when it should have been by the laying on hands, but they lost it during that particular time. Some fairly significant things take place in the mind of revelation if you watch it by the Spirit of God. All right, let's sing a song or two and we'll close. I wish I could have had another hour or maybe two, but praise the Lord. We trust the Lord that He will help us, lead us, guide us, and direct us into all truths. Help us to comprehend the heights, widths, depths, and lengths of God's Word. You see, Brother Pike had a way of delivery. If we train after that and we want to deliver the same way, we think we got the revelation. It doesn't work that way. There's something that has changed. There's something different. There's something that has taken place. And you got to see it, perceive it, and understand it, and watch it by the mind of Christ. And the thing is there's something that happened last night, brother, and yesterday during this election time. with this man coming in, all I could say is a great significance. It doesn't matter if he's a devil. It doesn't matter if he's a heathen. It doesn't matter if he's a son of God. There's a significance. There's a significance in everything, brethren, that we watch it by the mind of Christ and the mind of Revelation. Amen. So, we find a man. I think he's from up there around New York, ain't he? Doesn't he live around the Great Apple somewhere? He is a New Yorker. And that's where his headquarters is. I know that's where his campaign headquarters was at. He's a pretty good buddy with Giuliani up there that was a former mayor. But it has to do with the apple, brother. And we know something took place over there at the water with an apple. We use terminology of apples. And we know apple has to do with the tree of knowledge of education. Okay? The college system, as Martin Luther, one of the church age messengers, made a statement that he said that the education or the schools are the gateway to hell. Now, this was a man of God now. He's one of the seven church messengers. He said that the schools will be the gateway to hell. And he said this back in the 1500s. And the man was, thus saith the Lord. And he was 100% right. Education and college of America is the worst thing that has ever happened to a nation anywhere in time. Because the Bible said they get puffed up in their fleshly mind. And they think they know, but they don't know what they ought to know. And the problem with that is a man that's right in his own ways, the Bible teaches that man, it leads him into destruction. Amen. All right, let's sing a song. I would like to be able to clarify some more thoughts there, but I can't. We got to stop. Re of his unveiled face, the glory of his unveiled face, glory that is changing me. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the same that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? And grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Now listen. See, everybody puts all this into the future, and you forget God is. God was, and God is to come. This is fulfilled in three different dimensions. Amen? And if you only see this in a future perspective, you'll never see the transfiguration of the body. You will go through the tribulation with the Jews. I promise you that. There's going to be many people that consider themselves as Christians in this day and hour that'll find themselves in the tribulation period, and they'll pay with their own blood because they think like a carnal-minded Jew instead of like a mind of Christ in the revelation of Jesus Christ. They will find themselves going through the fire. Most, the largest percentage of your church, of the churches of America, the ones that are alive right now, if this catastrophic change takes place, it's going to be such a small number the world probably won't even see it. I'm sorry, but they'll be talking about a few missing, but I'm telling you, brethren, it's going to be that little of a group. Amen. And I could take you in and show you 6 in the flood, 4 out of Sodom and Gomorrah, 2 that went into Canaan land, and now this time it's only going to be 1. And that's bone and bone and flesh, flesh of Jesus Christ. You must be predestined in Him. There's no other way to make it. There's no other way. There's no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved except Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That's what Brother William Branham would say. That's what Brother George Pike would say. That's what Wesley would say, Luther would say, and many other great leaders would say the same thing. It's Jesus and it's Him alone. Brother Branham was grieved and came off the field when they started baptizing His name. It made the brother angry. Amen. That's not what he wanted people to see. He was working the works of the Lord and the Holy Ghost was moving in him. But he pointed everything back to his Heavenly Father. Everything. Amen. But the people didn't want to do that. Amen. So, again, look at this. Death being swallowed up in victory. And, O death, where is thy sting and O grave? As the woman said right over here. And she said, that preacher's got a sad day coming. He's going to realize one day that he's lying. Because I said that I've already passed from death and life and I cannot die. I cannot die because the victory of this has already taken place. Amen. They could put me in a box. And I can go by what you call the way of the grave. But it'd be considered sleep, just like Brother Branham and Brother Pike, to sleep. Amen. But my spirit is already caught away into heavenly places, dwelling in eternity. Jesus said, where I am, you'll be there also. And the Bible said we're dwelling in heavenly places. Heavenly places. Amen. Where are we dwelling? First, second, and third heaven. Amen. But some haven't made it in third. Some are back into just the second realm. Soul realm religion. I'm telling you, listen, you might have a problem with this, but there's very, 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 very few that have seen beyond the second veil into the third heaven. They make it into the second realm and they play with the allegories and the types and shadows there, just like they did in the second heaven. The water came forth from the rock. Manna came down from heaven. That's a supernatural spiritual event, but it wasn't what God had in store for them. He wanted them to go on into Canaan. Some took their inheritance on this side of Canaan, but just Joshua and Caleb too made it across into Canaan. Just two. The earth opened up and swallowed up all of God's elect. Come on, those were His elect children. Those were His. And the earth opened up and I can't remember how many thousands it recorded, swallowed them up in one day. Why? Because of the same thing you do. Murmuring and complaining. And the earth swallowed up. When you're murmuring and complaining, that's your earth opening up and it's swallowing you up. You can't murmur and complain. Man, we're the sons of God. We overcome Satan with the word of our testimony and our profession. Amen. And we profess we're the sons of God. We're walking in the power of God. We're expressing the liberty of the Lord. Amen. And the provisions of God. We don't have no bad profession. Oh, man, things ain't going so good. Shut up, devil. Man, it's awesome over here in heaven. Amen. Tell him to shut up. Say, get you behind me, Satan. Don't savor the things that be of the flesh. Man, that's when the Lord will say, get behind me, Satan. Just praise the Lord. Amen. All right, we better keep singing. Amen. Preacher will keep on preaching. That's what happens when you take off for a week, brother. You want to catch up in one night. Amen. You all right? What you need? All right. That's a personal thing. You can do that. If you want to get on your face over here, that's fine. I've already, me and you, so everything's good with you and I. You just make sure that it's good with Him. You're all right. Just receive. Say, thank you, Jesus. Turn and do it no more. Amen. Praise the Lord. Change me. Changing me, it's changing me. Light of the glory, repentance. The preacher can help you with repentance. Already done the preacher part with this little brother. Had a little problem, done like all boys do in school, and acted like a boy for a little bit. Amen. This is a Christian school, man. We got to keep that guy killed out. Amen. So I said, this is between you and the Lord. Amen. He's a good boy. Amen. He showed a real genuine heart of repentance. Amen. Wants to make sure he's got all them bases covered. Amen. That's good. Yes, sir, Brother Larry. Lord's Supper room. What's that? Oh, you have? Okay. How long has he been having them? I'm going to pray for him right now, but I want you to follow up when you get home. Don't get this real hot. Maybe run it under just a little bit of warm water for a minute, but I'd like you to put, you have a little eyedropper at home maybe? You have an eyedropper? If not, just pour some of this in his ear and make sure he gets it down in there and put some of this anointing oil in there. And I'm going to tell you something. It'll be gone. Take that home with you and do that very thing. Let's pray, brethren. You say, well, I think I'd just lay hands on him and pray and anoint him with oil like the Bible says. I do that too. But I tell you, we follow the Lord. The Lord spoke to him to help time. How about every time that you see somebody with a problem with eyesight, are we supposed to spit in the mud? Put a little mud on their eyes? Jesus done that. But when we do that, we're going to make sure we're doing it because we heard the same thing he heard. And the Lord told him to do that because sometimes the profound, the wise, and the prudent, like, wow, going to take spittle and mud and dirt. Going to heal this man's eyes. Told another one to go get some dirty water to bring healing to his body. And you're thinking, man, dude's open sores all over his body. The last thing you want to do is get in that filthy water of the Jordan, the muddy waters. It was a bad time. But he said, go get in them dirty waters and you'll come forth healed. Amen. So, you know, what do? We listen, we follow, we submit, we subject to the mind of Christ. You might do it one way. I had a man come to me, a preacher. And he said, the way prophecy works with me, or an interpretation, he said, I close my eyes and I look up and he said, I see a ribbon go by. He said, if you ever seen an airplane flying, pulling a banner. And he said, I see this ribbon go by and I just read what it says. If I was waiting on the banner to come by, brother, I'd never give a word of prophecy because I've never seen it that way. So do I have to wait for them? I laid hands on a man right there that was going blind. And I called this whole church to a fast for 10 days, if I remember right. 7 or 10 days. I said, I want you to fast. I said, I'm going to lay hands on this man. I prayed and fasted and I called him in here and I laid hands on him. I mean, one of the most powerful anointings. It jerked the power out of my body, man, where I was so weak I could hardly stand. I mean, the virtue of the Lord. And the man said, Brother Robbie, he said, I've never felt such the power of God like that. And he said, I know the healing there. But he said, I done had a vision like Brother Branham. See, Brother Branham had to have a vision of the things that he'd have to see this thing take place in the vision. Then he could speak by faith because he already seen the vision. That's what God worked with him. He don't work with me that way. But this man, because Brother Brennan have that way, he thought this way would be with him. And he rejected the healing. He said, well, I seen in a vision it was going to be another man. So I had to reject it. He rejected his healing because he was trying to fulfill something the way another man of God did it. And it was there. I'm telling you, the man was touched and healed. I've done petition to the throne of God, and I know the man was healed. But he rejected his healing. He sat right outside there and told me. He said, I know the healing was there. I saw it. But he said, I had to reject because God showed me it's going to be another man. And he never got it. And the man died. Never got it. You see, we got to be careful what we think we know and trying to walk in another man's anointing. Another man has a way of delivery. Brother Pike had a way of delivery. It's not mine. Does it make mine wrong? I hope not, but I'm just telling you, I've seen it. They brought a man to church at Bethlehem, and he got up there. Brother Branham get under such a powerful anointing that he couldn't stand up, and they'd get men to hold him up before he could finish his message. So they get this guy up there. There was no anointing on the man, but they're holding him up, and he's acting all drunk, and somebody should have had enough Holy Ghost. Took him out of the church. I had to leave. I walked out and I resigned the church because I wasn't going to be partakers with that kind of stuff. To see him mocking. I said the man would have been less disrespectful to Brother George Pike to go up there and relieve himself on his grave outside the church when he was buried up there than what we witnessed right there in that church. I'm telling you the truth. But that's why we learn to watch things by the Spirit. Other people are infatuated. Boy, man, powerful word of God. Man, this is awesome. But it was all playing in the rain. It's all it was. There was no spiritual life going forth. It was gone. Ichabod put over the door. Amen. I can go into much things and saying, but I sometimes can't. Let's pray. Most gracious fathers, I pray for this, my little brother. Fathers, he's obedient to the word and go home and put the anointing oil in his ears. Father God, I'm expecting relief, a miracle of God. Father, touch him right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, and heal this, my little brother, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look at me. Expect. Expect and believe. Amen. Yeah, amen, me too. Brother Manny had been listening to the message and he said he don't want to get crossed up and stuck in the wrong dimension, wrong realm. Hey, that's my concern too. It's an easy place to be. Let me tell you something. I was preaching a seminar to ministers in Africa. And I said, do you want to be spirit-led or congregation-led? See, and a lot of times you could be doing things to fulfill, to please a congregation of people. This is what the pastor's supposed to do, man. He's over here doing this. He's over here doing that. He's over here helping this. Well, man, our people are pleased. Praise God, good church. We'll support you, do this and that. Hey, that's all great. But you could be out of the will of God doing all that. A spirit-led man, he's going to follow the leading of the Lord, and sometimes the congregation gets mad. Sorry. But you know, we follow the leading of God. Amen. And the thing is, Manny being young in the Lord, trying to step into another realm, another dimension altogether, start allowing God to utilize. Man, there's a lot of struggles, a lot of wrestling there. Man, my heart goes out to him. I've been there, brother. Still there. I'm not talking as I'm better, but I'm just saying, I know the wrestles of learning to differentiate the mind of God and to find the will of God and the leading of God. Amen. It's not an easy place to be. And then we say, man, I want to please God. So then we find zealousness, start running this way and run this way. And then we're the man running and beating at the air and thinking, you know, here we are. But the people look, man, I was that guy for years, man. People are watching my life saying, man, that brother Rob, man. I mean, I was praying for people, laying hands on people. I was bold. Brother, I'd shut down a restaurant and preach the gospel right in a restaurant. I was too bold. You guys think I'm pretty straight, pretty strong now? I tell you, we had an altar call in McDonald's and the whole crew came out. They shut down the burgers and everything down there. The whole crew come out of the kitchen and they come out in. And I got started preaching the gospel. Amen. Started reaching people. You know, you say, that's the way it should be. No, it can be. But you know, then we could say, you know, hey, you know, this is the way it is and be bold. One preacher called me John the Baptist. He said, man, he don't care, man. He's just going to let them know how it is. You know? So he had a hatchet in his hand all the time, taking a root, axe to the root of the tree. You say, well, you're still a lot like that, Brother Ron. Let me tell you something. I'm a merciful person. Because let me tell you, sometimes you can unbail. And it changes lives and people and homes. And you don't want to do that. I've been guilty of that. So we got to be careful what you open up, what you do. Got to be careful how you do it. Amen. It's like when I unveiled to that doctor's wife, I told you she collapsed under the power of God on the floor of her home. Collapsed and wept and bawled. And I thought, oh gosh, I'm supposed to be remodeling the kitchen here. Yeah, but I'm a servant of the Lord. Man told me, he said, I'll hire you. But I don't want you talking about God. I said, okay. I went over and closed my briefcase. And I said, appreciate your time. I started heading for the door. And he goes, where are you going? And I said, you made yourself clear. I said, I'm out of here, man. I said, I'm not going to submit to you and tell you. I said, I'm not ignorant. I'm not going to go into your customer's home and jam Jesus down their throat. But I'm not going to make no vow to you that I'm never going to open my mouth for God neither. I said, that won't never happen. I don't care if it pays $100,000 a day and somebody tells you, hey, but you can't say nothing about for Jesus. You keep your $100,000, brother. Oh, I think I can shove them out for at least 2 days, pay my couple bills off. I wouldn't do it. I'd die in them 2 days, brother. Yeah, I ain't going to do that, man. Let's pray. Most gracious Father, as I pray for this, my brother, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for this brother, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for his struggles. I thank you, Lord, for his sincerity. I thank you, Lord God, for a man that can, that will dig in, Father, and press and push and won't stop until he gets what he's after. I appreciate that and admire that in this, my brother. Father, I ask you to help him, Father, in his discernment. I ask you to help him, Father God, in his understanding and wisdom and revelation and knowledge. Father, I ask you to utilize this man for your glory, not for this man's projection of something, of anything, but that you could be revealed and be seen in this brother's life. Father, is his name being Emmanuel? Father, God with us. Father, let God be with him and bring the revelation of this name forth in this generation, in this time, in this moment, in this closing period of all mankind. Father, we thank you. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessing his family and honor everything he touches in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Love you, man. God's great. We'll get Brother Henry to dismiss us tonight. Let's just sing this song together for a moment as we close the service. I'm sorry to keep you all so long. Great. God's great. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See, there's her. What?
But my smile's not that great.
Yeah, it is. It's a nice smile. See, man, doesn't that make you just feel better to smile about it? You don't have to listen to the devil. He come try to wear you out. Granddad's gone, man. Praise the Lord. Bible said it's time to rejoice. If something's tormenting you about that, it's the devil. So just smile. Say, you know what? Praise God. You know, one day it's granddad. One day it'll be daddy. Another time it'll be mama. You might beat them out of here. Yeah, you might get to put me in a box one day. But you know what? You just need to remember this. Say, man, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the way of all the flesh. You see, there's an eternal spirit that lives within a man. That's the part that's forever. It can't die. It's eternal. It's going to live. Amen. The destiny of that spirit is being weighed in the balance. You got to be careful who you yield your little members to. You know, you want to yield yourself to the Lord. You said you wanted to be a preacher one day, huh? All right. Well, the first thing I got to do is learn to hang up the phone on that lying devil that comes to make you saying, you see, I have trouble picking yourself up. Stand up here one more notch. Come up here right here. Oh, no, come up here. Come on. Come on. It is hard on old fat boy. Come on up here, boy. Get up here. Okay, now look, you just came up here. Okay, it wasn't no problem, was it? A little struggle, but it's okay. All right, that's what we're going to do from now on. Pick yourself up. It's fine. I feel pretty good about it. What?
I meant it in like a different kind of way.
You meant in a different way?
I didn't pick myself up.
I understand where you meant it, but I'm just saying you got yourself up here, huh? Now go back down there for a second. Come back up here a minute. All right? See, that's what we got to do. We wrestle with the old devil. We just get back up and stay up. Okay, I know what you meant by getting up here. I'm just telling you, you just done it there. Do the same thing in the spirit realm. Smile. Smile, man, away your fears. Smile about it. You know, the devil comes to you, man, your granddad's gone, he's dead. You say, man, shut up, devil, you're a liar. Just tell him to shut up. Amen. That's the way of all the earth. Brother Pike's gone. Man, he was a dear brother to me, closer than my brother. I lost my brother too, lost my best friend, lost my mother. You know what? But praise God, man. I got life, abundant, eternal, living in me. You've got eternal life. You got eternal life?
Yes, sir.
You living forever?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you believe that Bible?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and the Bible said at the time when your dad crossed out, he said, that's the time to rejoice. Okay? You know, we say, praise the Lord. Smile about it. See there? That wasn't that hard, was it? Feel better? All right, let's pray. Most gracious Father, I take authority over any tormented spirit that would try to hinder this little brother. Father God, I know that spirits could hinder and vex, Father. But I thank you, Lord God, that he'll differentiate this mind, Lord God, and these thoughts. And Father, that he could see, Father God, that mourning over the loss of a great grandfather, a loved one, Father, will prosper nothing in his life. So, Father, as I impart right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, as I impart, Lord God, the gift and the strength, Lord, of joy, Father, in this situation, Father, that he'll never struggle ever again with the unbelief and the grievance of a grandfather that has gone on. Father, I say every time that his grandfather comes, the thought that a smile will come on his face and he can thank, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord God. Father, that this young man will never struggle with it ever again. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, smile. Every time a thought comes about Paul Stone, number one, guess what you're going to do? Smile. That feel good?
Yes.
All right. So when I'm up here preaching, I say, Paul Stone, number one. Then I want to see something. See, that's already working. Praise the Lord. All right. You can go back out there, and we're going to get Brother Henry up here to close us in prayer. Brother Henry, as you come, Noah, Paul Stone, number one. See that? Look at that. It worked pretty good, huh? Man, you got it down, man. Hey, you feel pretty good about it? Didn't it feel good to just know? Hey, we don't have no fear of death. Death is, the message tonight was talking about the abolishment of death. It's gone. You don't know anybody that's died. Amen. Come on. They go to sleep. Amen. You say, well, Brother Rob, what if he wasn't a son of God? Hey, if he's not a son of God, just rejoice in the Lord that you'll have no remembrance of them things, man, and just rejoice in the Lord. The Bible said, who are you to find fault with me if you have one vessel to honor another to dishonor? Amen. Don't find fault with God. Just say, hey, praise God, I trust you. Amen. If he takes Sister Irene home tonight, we're going to rejoice. We're going to have a party. If he takes Brother Rob, we're going to have a party and rejoice. If he takes Brother Jeff, we're going to have a great time. Amen. I love y'all. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.